It's time for Benedictine Raven football, heard on your local sports authority, KAIR, Radio 93.7 FM, and streaming on msc.news.net. Benedictine Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management. Contact Hamada Wealth Management at 928-443-7536. Stay tuned. The Amberwell Health pregame will begin with the Bank of Atchison Coaches Show featuring head coach Joel Osborne right after these messages.
It's back to school and also to the seasonal routines filled with school time errands and activities. Hi, this is Dr. Brian Casey of Union State Bank of Atchison and also a part-time college educator. As we get busier, Union State Bank makes keeping up with banking convenient and easy. With mobile banking, you can bank wherever you are, and you can pay bills and make transfers online and much more. With text alerts and our new budget bubbles, you'll stay right on track with Union State Bank, no matter how busy life gets. NMLS number 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
It's another Benedictine Football Saturday on CARE Radio, and before the game, joined by Joel Osborne, head coach of the Ravens. Coach, first of all, congratulations. That was a great game for your team as a season opener.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, Tom. Kids came out ready to play. We knew it wasn't going to be easy, especially with the type of offense they run. And William Penn, you can tell they improved their personnel a lot and their scheme in the offseason. So they came out and were ready to go. And our kids did a good job of bending but not breaking on defense. Gave up some yards, but we kept them out of the end zone. And the red zone was the biggest difference in the game. They were 1-for-4 on touchdowns, and we were 4-for-4 on touchdowns offensively. So I was really proud of our kids. Offensively, we took advantage of the drives we had. You know, we only had 9 the entire game. At the end of the third quarter, we only had 6, and we had scored 4 touchdowns at, you know, in those 6 drives. So, you know, when you're efficient, you come out and you take care of the football. That's a big deal. We do have to do a better job with the turnover battle. We were -1 there, so our goal is +2 per game. So, you know, we got to improve that area. A lot of things we can improve on going into the Grandview week, and we're just excited for another opportunity to go out and play.
Coach, first game out, you always have to be a little tentative, wonder how it's going to go, but I think you've got to be thrilled with how well your guys executed, how few mistakes they made during the course of the game, the mental mistakes that are easy to make. They just didn't make many of those.
Yeah, the biggest thing is we did have mistakes, but you couldn't tell because of our body language. Our body language was really good. We always talk about what's the most important play. It's the next play. And so the kids did a good job of improvising, adapting, and overcoming and moving on to the next play. And so there's quite a few things we can clean up, but, you know, from a standpoint of if you're just a normal fan, you wouldn't have noticed that just because of our kids and their body language and how well they handled it. And, yeah, it was a great first win, and I'm really proud of the way they handled themselves up at William Penn.
Things Gus and I noticed particularly is the penalties. You had none until well into the game, and then only just a couple, so that's always a great sign.
Yeah, for sure. We talk about offensively alignment, assignment, snap count, and our kids were pretty dialed into that. You know, and defensively, you know, our guys did a good job of playing a clean game and tackling. We didn't have very many issues with tackling, and that's a big deal when you're playing a triple option offense, especially week one. So, you know, we were really pleased. And our kids do a good job playing from whistle to whistle. And you saw, if you're watching the game, you could see that William Penn was playing after the whistle, and they got caught a couple of times and really put themselves in a bad position. So I'm really proud of our kids.
Moving on to today's game, a very quality opponent in Grandview. A team that's probably got a chip on their shoulder because they were moments away from going to the national championship game last year.
Yeah, Grandview's going to be an extremely good team. Coach Woodley's done a great job there, you know, following in his father's footsteps, started the program 2008, and they've just done tremendous things. You know, I'm from Iowa, so I know everything a lot about their roster in terms of they get a lot of Iowa kids, so they're going to have tough blue-collar kids on their team, and their coaching staff does a good job. So, you know, we've got to come out and just got to compete and play the best we can play and focus on, you know, one play at a time. And the biggest thing that we talk about is composure and confidence this week. We got to keep our composure, and we got to keep our confidence and make sure that we're playing between the from whistle to whistle and focus on what we can control. So our kids have had a great week of practice. We're ready to play.
Johnny Sullivan, the quarterback, he's just a great guy for that team to rally around. I think maybe his third year starting on this club.
Yeah, Johnny's got a lot of experience. He's got a lot of weapons around him, and he's got a good offensive line. So, and they've got a good running game. So, you know, he does a good job managing the game. You know, he's got a good arm. He sees the field well. So, and like I said, if he at any point in time, if he just wants to throw the ball up, he can. He's got 2'6", 220-pound receivers to throw to. So, you know, our guys defensively need to be locked in to their key. They need to execute at a high level. The biggest thing that we got to do is just compete every snap. I go back to that because, you know, Grandview's a really good team. They're going to make plays on both sides of the ball. So it doesn't really matter if they do make a play. What matters is how we respond the next one because, you know, they're going to get a few. They're going to get a few on us. And our kids know that, but they're excited for the opportunity.
With the Grandview offense bringing back a lot of guys, the Grandview defense does not. And so I don't know really a lot about this defense with the many new players they're going to be bringing in.
Yeah, so they bring back the best player in the conference defensively at linebacker, number 15. He's a phenomenal player. You know, he's going to be a problem. He plays their Mike linebacker. Their other linebacker inside is really good as well. So they're really good up front. They've got three defensive linemen all weigh 300 pounds that start on the front line. So they're really good in the box. Secondary, they've shuffled some parts around. They lost both corners, the Flowers brothers. So they've taken some guys and shuffled them around. They've got really good safeties, and their corners are new. So, you know, they're going to be a challenge for us offensively as well. We've got to find ways to come out and be able to run the ball and move the chains, and then we got to take our shots when we can and go attack. You know, they sit in that cover four, and you know, when you sit in cover four sometimes, there's an opportunity to get over the top.
And, of course, always great to be at home in the season opener here. The crowd, always excellent. And so that's got to be a thrill for you and for your team.
Yeah, we're really excited to be back at our home stadium and playing in front of a full capacity crowd. It's going to be a great environment. You know, our fans, I've heard a lot of good things about our fans here and the tailgating experience and then just, you know, just the experience at the game in general. You got the band playing. You know, we're really, really excited for the atmosphere that's going to be happening on Saturday. And like I told our kids yesterday, our scout team guys, they did a great job all week. They're going to be on the sideline in white jerseys. Their job is to get the crowd going, especially on third down. So we need everybody to be loud on third down and try to cause some havoc for the opposing team.
Last question. You got a key to this one?
One play at a time.
You got it. Coach Osborne, thanks very much, and good luck here this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes two complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and five clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care.
The Amberwell Health pregame show continues with the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. Keys to the game right after this.
It's back. The featured blizzard of the month at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill is the Pumpkin Pie Blizzard. Real pumpkin pie pieces, whipped topping, and nutmeg. Blended in soft serve. Pumpkin season is here. And surprise, a second blizzard of the month. The Pecan Pie Blizzard. Those great blizzards along with the new fall blizzard menu, and you can't go wrong. At Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill.
As we get set for Raven football this afternoon against Grandview University, it's now time for your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game. And for Benedictine, there's no secret that today you have to be almost perfect. But for me, the key to the game is going to be up front. You've got to get pressure on quarterback Johnny Sullivan. Don't allow him much time to set back and find those big receivers down the field. If you can get pressure on Sullivan, you can take those big receivers out of this game. And for me, that is your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill key to the game. And we'll be back with Raven kickoff after this.
KAIR-FM Horton, Atchison.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game in the Amberwell Health pregame show. We will go live to Tom and Gus Counts at the stadium for play-by-play coverage and in-game analysis of Benedictine football in just a few moments.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Retirement planning is not just about retirement, but about planning. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary review of your current retirement situation. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC, Hamada Wealth Management Group, and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
It's time for Benedictine Raven football. Four quarters of hard-hitting, action-packed, high-flying intensity. Our coverage of Raven football is brought to you by our proud Raven sports boosters.
Welcome to Wilcox Stadium here on the beautiful campus of Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas, where we're getting set for college football this afternoon as the Ravens play host to the Grandview University Vikings. Hello again, everybody, with Joseph, our producer-engineer in the K-Radio Sports Studio, Gus Counts to my left, Tom Counts, and Gus, people already, it's week two already of the season, but folks have been looking forward to this game for months and months, I think, already.
Yeah, I think when the schedules came out, everybody circled this game on their schedule and said, yeah, this is the game where you're going to find out a lot about these two teams. In week one, both of them played lesser opponents, and I think they both just kind of walked through those games and had no problems. Benedictine went up to William Penn and didn't really struggle with that. And for Grandview, they had a home game in Des Moines, and they were able to knock off Central Methodist pretty handily, 37-10. But this should be a great game, and I think it's one of those measuring stick type games early on in the season. Grandview should have no problems winning the North this season, and for Benedictine, this is a big game. You want to be able to beat these guys and move up in the national polls and position yourself to win the South later on.
Not just a measuring stick for Benedictine, but also I think for Grandview. I think after that first week, they're all just wanting to know just how good are we or what do we need to work on. Well, these are two quality opponents again. Grandview coming into the ball game today, number 5 in the nation, Benedictine, and the first poll out was number 17. And these are two teams, Gus, that I think a lot of people would say got real postseason hopes.
Yeah, I mean, I think Grandview coming off of what was probably a little bit of a disappointing year last year. I think they really felt like they had a national title contender last year and came up a little short against Northwestern Iowa, who then went on to the national title game to lose to Lindsey Wilson. But Grandview, there's a lot of players in its secondary, lose a lot of guys on the defense. Really, the best player they're going to bring back onto this year's team is going to be their number 3 tackler from last season. So their top 6 tacklers, only one of those guys will return this year. And that's the outside linebacker, Drew Buffelli. Buffelli's a guy we're going to hear a lot. He's a senior out of Eskridge, Iowa. Second-team All-Conference last season. But they do lose a lot of the pieces in that secondary, most notably the Flowers brothers.
Tremendous crowd on hand here this afternoon. They've been tailgating. They've been getting ready for this game. And then beyond the game, because, of course, this evening, Chris Tabor, class of 93, is going to be inducted into the Benedictine Athletics Hall of Fame. And he's being inducted not on homecoming and not on the typical day that they do the Hall of Fame banquet, because due to his duties as a special teams coordinator for the Chicago Bears, they are doing that today. You're going to remember Chris, so many of you, the 3-year starter at quarterback, young man out of St. Joe, Missouri, and he led this Raven team to so many, many wins. All-conference selection, team MVP, NAIA national championship game, or national semifinal game. Back deep for Grandview to return the kick are going to be Brandon Martin and Nick Danielson. They're going to settle in for the Vikings at their own 6-yard line. Ravens have Cullen Bruner, their kicker from Marceline, Missouri, red shirt freshman, getting set to tee it up. Benedictine in the home black uniforms. Last week it was white. This week, black helmet, black jersey, black pants with red and white lettering and trim for Grandview. It is white from head to toe. Helmets, jerseys, pants with bright red lettering and trim. Kind of a, I'm going with what, a Rutgers or Louisville red maybe?
Yeah, I mean more of a Louisville red. It's kind of that deeper color.
We are set to go and hope you enjoy it. The kick coming again from the left from Cullen Bruner. Officials getting everybody lined up. It is overcast day here in Atchison today. 70 degrees. A kickoff is a boot is high. End over end and short. Taken by Martin at the 5. Up the right hash marks. Takes it to the numbers. Crossing the 20. Cross the field to the 25. Back to his right to the 35. And caught from behind at the 36-yard line. Because that was a spectacular run. Brandon Martin, the wide receiver, who's also the kick return guy, has tremendous field vision.
Out there on the tackle for the Ravens, a freshman linebacker, Caleb Taylor, out of Fountain Hills, Arizona. Talk about Brandon Martin, though, for Grandview. He's a spectacular athlete. He's a former SEC-type guy as he transferred here from the University of Arkansas.
Johnny Sullivan will step up under center for the first offensive snap of the ball game. First and 10 of their own 35-yard line. Will hand off to his running back. Tries the right side. He's hit at the line of scrimmage. Gets one. Not much there for Jensen Gates. Jensen, not a big running back. 5'8", 173, a junior from Ankeny. Joe Glazer, the Raven defensive end on the far side, helped by Brian Barrera, makes the Raven stop. They're going to give him almost two on the play. Let's call it a second down, 8-4 Grandview. And much like last week, Gus, getting them behind the chains, right? I mean, you want to have the second and longer.
Yeah, you want to have a second and longer, but as explosive as this Grandview offense is, I'm not going to help you a great deal.
Tight slot to the right is going to take the handoff on a sweep to the left. Gets around the edge, crosses the 40, 45, but missed tackle. Will give up a first down, and all the way upfield goes Bennett Spry, and he's going to be to the 47-yard line. Jalen James with the stop on the play for Benedictine. It is a first and 10 Grandview. Bennett Spry, because he may be known as the guy that got away from William Penn, as he's a hometown product of Oskaloosa, Iowa. First and 10, Grandview. They've taken the opening kickoff and are now just short of midfield at their own 47-yard line, just over a minute into the game. Sullivan now from the gun. Play action, looks right, pumps once, pulls it down, pumps again, got a man wide open, caught 30, 25, down to the 20, and out of bounds inside the 15-yard line, Anthony Turner. And Gus, how do you let Turner get loose?
Last year's Heart of America Athletic Conference Player of the Year, Tony Turner, wide open on the right sideline. And again, Johnny Sullivan's not going to miss that pass. A big play right there for Grandview. Turner going to take this play off.
And we are less than a minute and a half into the ball game, and Grandview is inside the Benedictine 15. First and 10 Vikings at the Raven 13-yard line. Short outs on both sides. A deep drop for the running back. And this time they are going to jet sweep it to the left side, down to the 15, corner to the 10, running over defender, down to the 2-yard line. It'll be close to a first and goal. Sweeping left, Jensen Gates.
Yeah, so they took Jensen Gates from the right to the left, put him in motion because they like their matchup out there. Brandon Martin has to set the corner. Josh Morris is the corner. So Brandon Martin going 6'4", 222. Josh Morris, 5'9", 150. That's a great matchup for Grandview, being able to seal off those corners. That's why they're going to like that jet sweep today. Raven linebackers are going to have to get into that alley quickly and cut that off.
They will call it a first and goal. Grandview has taken the opening kickoff. They're now down to the Benedictine 3. We are 2 minutes into the game. Play clock rolling along. Quarterback comes up under center again on this first and goal. Hands off to his running back. Head at the line. There's nothing there. Outstanding play by the defensive front for the Ravens as BC stood up Gates and Isaac Anderson. Boy, he was great last week, and he's starting off the same way here today.
Yeah, Isaac Anderson flirting with double-digit tackles last week. He had 9 of them and led the Ravens in tackles. A loss of 1 on the play. It'll bring up second and goal from now the 4-yard line.
We've only seen the ball in the air one time for Grandview, and it was highly successful. Let's see what they do here.
You've got to watch Tony Turner over here on maybe a jump ball.
Second down. They got him at the 4-yard line. They're looking for Turner, looking for Turner. Throwing to Turner. Touchdown, Turner. Johnny Sullivan, because there was no deceit. There was no fade away, look away. He was staring all the time at Anthony Turner. Hits him in the edge of the end zone. And at 12:10 to go in the opening quarter, Grandview is broken on top.
Yeah, pretty easy little drive right there for Grandview, but a lot of it was set up by that big catch for Tony Turner. And for Grandview, made the first drive look pretty easy.
Nathan Hamilton in for the PAT. The placement good. The kick is on its way and counted. We're taking a timeout. At 12:10 to go in the opening quarter here in Atchison, Kansas, it's Grandview 7, Benedictine coming up.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room, locally owned and operated. Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods, plus great beer, wine, and spirits, you'll always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room, at 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Come back. The kick is away, and the Ravens are going to allow that thing to bounce 3 yards deep into the end zone, kick out the back, and it will be 1st and 10, Benedictine. And the Ravens are going to have their offense out on the field for the first time this afternoon. Already, Gus, a little bit behind the eight ball. They trail 7-0, 12-10 to play opening quarter.
Yeah, Grandview took that first drive, were able to get down and get themselves onto the board. So for the Ravens, this is a big drive, and this thing is going to start at the 25-yard line. For quarterback Garrett Kettle.
Running back is going to be Rayshon Mills to his immediate right. Trips to the right side and one to the left. You notice Grandview, they never spread the field. They would have, the farthest they ever had a receiver out was maybe a step and a half off the end. It is 1st and 10 of their own 25-yard line for Benedictine. And again, I don't know what's holding the game up. They are very, very slow. Is it resetting the clock? Notice we do have new play clocks this year with a double clock. QB's back, flares it over into the right flat. It's going to be caught, and there's going to be a loss of a yard coming over to the right side, making the catch. Rayshon Mills out of the backfield, and he could never get to the corner. It was strung out well by Kyle Kluge out of Eden Prairie, Minnesota. One of only a handful of guys on this Grandview team that are not from Iowa.
If you're the Ravens right now, you got to look at that matchup on the top side of this formation. You have DeMario Luckett out there. We're going to talk about him a little more after this play.
Second down, handoff is going to Rayshon back to the line of scrimmage. He slips. He tuts back in the middle. There's, again, absolutely nothing there. And it will bring up after the tackle by Clay Freimuth. It'll bring up a 3rd and 10. And Gus Benedictine going no huddle. They did this last week, but coming to the line this quickly, what it will do if you're not successful, it'll put the ball back in your opponent's hands within 60 seconds.
Yeah, now they're going to bring Jacob Gathright, the true freshman, in. He is a burner out there, 5'10 freshman out of Oceanside, California.
Trips wide side, back to throw. It's going to be Kettle. Steps up, got time, wild, throws one left. There's a pass interference as he was grabbed and thrown to the ground, and here comes the flag. The receiver, Austin Buteau, was grabbed by the shoulder pads, spun to the ground by DeMario Luckett before the ball was even halfway to him.
And we started talking about it before that play. DeMario Luckett is a guy who is a name that you've heard before. And I was, when I saw the two deeps come out, I'm like, I know that name. DeMario Luckett transferred from Culver Stockton over to Grandview. He has struggled his entire career against Benedictine receivers. And if I'm Benedictine, against his new put-together defense for Grandview, I pick on Luckett all day. 5'10", 175 junior out of Cordova, Tennessee.
With that penalty, Benedictine's offense has new life. It's 1st and 10. Ravens at their own 40-yard line. They trail 7-0 here in the early moments of the game. Play action. Kettle is back to throw. Lots of time. Throwing deep. Downfield. Going the same way. What a Buteau catch! And then he loses it, but there's going to be another pass interference at the 15 again. You've got the matchup guys you're talking about. You got Buteau and you got Luckett.
Yeah, I was going to say, DeMario Luckett just struggles in his career against Benedictine. And right now, the Ravens are starting to figure that out. They're starting to look over his way and throw at him. the official microphone not working. It is going to be another pass interference against DeMario Luckett, his second one of this possession. And with the yardage, it'll move the ball in to Grandview territory. They're going to mark that probably somewhere around the 44, 43.
Had Buteau been able to hold on, and he would have picked up yardage way down to maybe the 20-yard line. But the advance of the sticks to the Viking, 45, first and 10, Benedictine. Three to the right, tight end, left side. And they're going to hand off, and here's Rayshon, 45, gets to the line of scrimmage and picks up about five. That is his best carry of the day, as again, Kyle Kluge will have his second tackle on the afternoon. 10.5 to go. We're in the opening quarter. And right now, Grandview leads Benedictine 7-0. Ravens in their first offensive possession, and they are moving to football.
They're going to bring Pete Cadena in, the big 6'1" receiver from El Paso, and split him wide to the left side.
Second down, half a dozen. Hand off again to Rayshon. He slips, cuts back into the middle, and he's going to end up picking up about five. Right now, Gus, is Cam Maxfield, the big nose tackle, first team all-conference guy from last year for Grandview, makes that stop. We've seen Rayshon slipping and sliding out there a lot.
We're seeing Rayshon make big cuts that we're not used to seeing out of him.
Third down and a long yard. Hand off. Rayshon goes right, puts his head down. He is short. Did not get the first down. I would expect Benedictine to leave its offense out here right now. They need this drive.
Yeah, the Ravens last week went for it on fourth down and, three of three on fourth down attempts last week. And a lot of times, and right now we're going to see Coach Osborne go ahead and roll the dice again. The ball at the 36, needing to get to the 35.
Cadena comes out, being replaced again by Austin Buteau. Fourth down and a yard at the Viking 36. Motion to the left side by the big tight end, Reed Levi. He'll be in there to block. Kettle keeps it himself, slips, and then lunges for the first down.
That was a great read right there by Garrett Kettle. Coming off the edge with Kyle Kluge. He was looking for the ball to go to Rayshon Mills. He smacks him in the backfield. A good pull by Garrett Kettle. Pushes forward and gets the first down by a good yard to spare. The ball down to the 34-yard line. Ravens are now going to bring in another tight end. It's going to be Court Madsen. They're going to tuck him tight to the right side.
Trips to the left side, wide side of the field. At 9 minutes to play in the opening quarter, Ravens down 7-0, but moving the football with their first possession. Handoff this time is going to go to the left side. That's going to be Jayshon Todd. Turns the corner, 30, 20, 15. He's at the 10, weaves down the 3, 2, 1-yard line. He's down inches from the goal line. What a run, Jayshon Todd. We heard good things about him.
Talking to Coach Osborne on Thursday afternoon, he said, this is a true freshman. He wasn't with us last week, but watch out. He could be a game changer today. And looked it right there. That was an impressive run for that young man on his very first college game, very first carry.
Big, big, big guys being brought into the Grandview defensive front. They are bulking up with the Jumbo D. 8:20 to go in the first quarter. Ravens threaten. It's first to goal. High snap. Handoff. Rayshon. No, he loses one.
Yeah, right now the Ravens are really struggling with that snap. We have seen center Jared Mullen dropping those things back. They're really high, and they're forcing Kettle at 6'4" to have to jump up. And by doing that, you're offsetting the timing with that read play to the running back. And right now, you got to kind of get that under control, and I'm sure after this possession, Coach Pops will be over there working with him.
Here comes a touchdown pass to Harry O'Neill. He comes into the right slot. The defender's going to be about 5 yards off him. Quarterback is back. No, Kettle will keep it himself into the end zone. Touchdown, Garrett Kettle and Benedictine within a PAT of tying this game.
That was a great drive right there for Benedictine. Answered that Grandview score early on and took a little time off the clock. A nice job by the Ravens, capped off with a Garrett Kettle touchdown run. Garrett ran the ball really successfully last week, and he had 14 carries for 76 yards. Last year against Grandview, he had 64 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown.
Keegan Trammell is in for the attempt at tying the game. Little right-foot soccer-style kicker. Quarterback Kettle is your holder. Hands are outstretched. Nice snap. The placement is good. The kick hits the upright. It is no good, and we've got a timeout. 7:50 to go in the opening quarter from Atchison, Kansas. It is Grandview 7, Benedictine 6.
Atchison Auto Parts is your independent Napa dealer, locally owned and operated. Stop by and see faces you recognize that have been in the business for over 50 years combined. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right part for your passenger vehicle or heavy-duty parts for the big trucks. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Hi, this is Todd Gigstad from Exchange Bank. You know, a good banking relationship is built on trust. It's a valuable asset. We offer you quality financial service and common sense advice. We're here to help you reach your goals. When you need a banking partner you can trust, you can count on us. Exchange Bank and Trust, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Exchange Bank and Trust, community-minded, that's my bank.
The Raven kickoff is away, taken by Nick Danielson at the goal line, goes up the left side in front of the Benedictine bench, pegs taken out from beneath him as he crosses the 25 out of bounds at the 26-yard line. Grandview will take over from there. Gus, you talked about the two first possessions for Grandview, a touchdown in, 2 minutes and 50 seconds, and for Benedictine, a touchdown in, 4:20?
Yep, 4:20 between scores right there. So both teams, one possession in, one touchdown on the board. 7-6, though, Grandview, as they were able to connect on their extra point, Benedict, and knock theirs off the upright.
Quarterback Johnny Sullivan will go up under center. Running back Jensen Gates, the single man in the backfield, almost a double wing offense, and penalty markers all over the place. Johnny's got acres to run, and instead he throws to a wide open receiver, caught across the 50 to the 45. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm going to say with all of that action you had back there that you probably had, an alignment penalty right there.
Fortunate for Benedictine because Granby was going to pick up big yardage no matter how they went about it, running or throwing on that down. Let's see if they've gotten that microphone fixed.
Oh, Granby's up there. I think this is getting into Raven. You had a defensive end lined up across the football. So a big play right there for Grandview. And, again, their drives have been aided by these big chunk plays right there. And now they're quickly into Raven territory, down to the 44, and they're going to bring Tony Turner and Brandon Martin in for this play.
Turner on the left side, Martin on the right. 7.5 to go in the opening quarter. We're midpoint of the first, 7-6 Grandview. Quarterback hands off, running back, bounces outside, crosses the line of scrimmage, and ushered out of bounds into the far sideline. Jensen Gates will pick up about 3.
Over there for the Ravens to make the stop, you're going to see 56 Brian Berea, the 5'11 junior linebacker out of Santa Clarita, California.
Matter of fact, they're going to say not quite 3. Give him 2 on that carry. They're down to the Raven 42-yard line. Second down, 8, Grandview. Head coach Joe Woodley. Now, it depends how you look at his resume. Third season as head coach, but like his 16th season as a coach on this team, as he was his father's assistant for all those other years. QB is back, fires it over to the right side, gets a great lead block from the downfield receiver, and a gain of about 6.
Tony Turner on the reception. Big Brandon Martin ahead of him blocking, and that's the thing with these Grandview receivers. They do catch the ball and catch it well, but Grandview also likes these big 6'4", 220-pound wide receivers to be good blockers, and I think they kind of enjoy that too.
It's a third down 2 call, and Benedict will make a defensive front change, putting Joe Burke, a redshirt freshman, 5'11", 255, bringing him into that defensive line, and BC is stacking the front. Second down 2, quarterback wraps around, hands it off, and it is going to be, I think, a first down. It'll be really close, but I think he's gotten it.
Yep, the far side official says, go ahead and move the sticks. And that time, wasn't much more on that run, but just enough for the running back. And that time, Jensen Gates carrying the football.
7-6 Grandview. As we're inside, 6 minutes to play in the opening quarter. First and 10. Vikings and
Grandview going to sneak in their little slot receiver, and they really like him. Dom Wright Walton, 5'6", 162 pounds. Line him up slot to the left side.
Sullivan goes to the shotgun on this first down call. Play actions and is back to throw. Looking left, goes to his running back out of the backfield. It's going to be Gates. Caught at the 30 and slung out of bounds at the 28-yard line into the Ravens sideline.
That time making the tackle for Benedictine. Middle linebacker Zach Gill, 6'1", senior out of Blue Valley High School in Overland Park.
So it's going to be a gain of half of it, gain of 5, second down 5, Grandview. Because we've seen Grandview make no mistakes. They have been crisp and brisk out there on both offense and defense so far.
Well, last year when Benedictine went up to Des Moines and Grandview came away with that 41-7 victory, Benedictine made all kinds of mistakes. Threw 5 interceptions and had a fumble, and today you've got to clean those things up against Grandview, who's about perfect today.
Motion right, handoff under misdirection, 35, 25, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Vikings! The Raven defense was absolutely taken in by the misdirection, and Jensen Gates goes in from 29 yards.
Yeah, that time Jensen Gates did a great job. They sold the motion going to the right side, almost a little counterplay back to the left. Jensen Gates will give Grandview a lead of now 7 with the PAT coming.
So is this a matter of the Benedictine defense is just so hyped up and know they've got to stop this team, that they're maybe even overreacting a little bit to that first motion?
Some of it is just Grandview has so many weapons, right? It's tough to pick what you're going to stop.
Hamilton for the PAT, airborne and good. Timeout, 5:24 to play. Still in the opening quarter, it's now Grandview 14, Benedictine 6.
Hunley Liquor is the place to go for your favorite beverages. Stop by and check out their beer selection. They are carrying lots of new beers, and they always have cold ones ready to go. Also in stock is an array of seltzers, wines, and spirits, something for everyone. Stop by and check it out. You may find a new favorite. Hunley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
Skyway Vapes has a new home. See them at 711 Commercial Street for your vaping products. They carry everything you need to get started on your journey to a healthier alternative to smoking, carrying products ranging from mini pod systems all the way up to intermediate mods. Check them out at their new location, 711 Commercial in Atchison. Still with those great hours. Open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 7 on Sunday. It's Skyway Vapes in Atchison.
Here comes Trey Adger on the kickoff return, 20, breaks a tackle, 30, stiff arms at the 40, out of bounds at the 43-yard line. Gus, the kicker saved the TD right there.
Yeah, Nathan Hamilton, first-team all-conference kicker, the special teams player of the week in the Heart of America Athletic Conference last week, saved a big play right there, but a nice return for Trey Adger, and the Ravens going to have it out past the 40 to the 42-yard line where they'll take over.
Tell you what, that's the first time we've even called Trey's name today. I mean, he's been out in the offense, but they've not targeted him. He has not touched the ball, and here comes BC. Now with a running back on either side, Garrett Kittle comes to the line, first and 10 to the 42. Flares it over to the left side, out of the backfield, and again they go to Rayshon, puts his head down, and he's blown up after a 2-yard gain.
That time getting over there, Cole Rollinger, second-team all-conference player from last year. Only 2 tackles against Central Methodist last week. For the Ravens, they're going to give him about a gain of 3 on the play. It'll bring up 2nd and 7 for Benedictine, just under 5 minutes to play here in the first quarter.
Second down at their own 45. Now they're going to have just a running back to the left of Kettle. Rayshon is going to settle in there. Motion as Buteau to the right side, the wide side. But straight back to throw. Going deep over the middle. He's got a man wide open. Caught 10-5 down to the 2-yard line. You know who that was? That's Jayshon Todd again. Another long, long gainer for the freshman.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm telling you, Jayshon Todd, who got the call up today, looks like a big time player for a true freshman out of Santa Clarita. Able to haul that in, and his reward? Go ahead and check out for this play. Here comes the big tight end, Reed Levi, and they're going to tuck him to the left side. Now they're going to split him out to the left side and tuck Court Matson on the right.
From the 2, it is first and goal. Man, Jayshon's got lots of yards. Once he gets into the end zone, though, I bet. Handoff is going to go, and there's nothing there. Now bouncing outside, looking in the middle, nothing there. Now leaning toward the end zone, driving down inches away, Rayshon Mills. Because he must run 30 yards to pick up yard and a half.
I'm always scared when a running back hits the pile, bounces out, and starts running backwards. But that time it worked for Rayshon. He finally found a little bit of an avenue tucked in there. Harry O'Neill will check in for the Ravens, and Reed Levi will come out.
And you see also shuffling by the Grandview Viking defensive front. They're bringing in some big, big guys out there. 3:40 to go and rolling along in the opening quarter. Ravens threatening. Second and goal, inches away. QB will keep it. Duck loses a couple of yards. This time they expected Garrett Kettle to run.
Yeah, one of the first guys back there, Rocky Schoenfelter, also in there to make the stop for Grandview, is going to be Cole Rollinger, the free safety. So when the free safety's up in the box and hits your quarterback in the backfield, that is the play they were expecting. It'll bring up now a third and goal for the Ravens, and now they're backed up to the 3-yard line.
And again, they make the switch, taking O'Neal out, bringing Levi in. How interchangeable is it when you got two kids from Rockhurst? I mean, you run one Rockhurst guy in, you run one back out. It is third and goal. They'll call it the one. Quarterback's back, throws end zone, touchdown Ravens, and that is Reed Levi, 6'4" junior out of Kansas City Rockhurst.
In the spring game against Hastings, we saw the Ravens use the tight end quite a bit, and especially Reed Levi, kind of as that hybrid tight end, H-back type. And last week against William Penn, we really expected big things out of Reed Levi. Didn't get targeted once in there. On his first target of the season, takes it in for a 3-yard touchdown.
I expected the Ravens to go for two here, but they will not. They're going to line up for the kick. Keegan Trammell toes to it, and it is in. What a game. Four possessions, four touchdowns. Timeout on the field with 2:52 to go in the first. It's Grandview 14, Benedictine 13.
When you want to power up, go pro with Subway. With the new protein bowls, you'll get a footlong's worth of protein. Pick your favorite footlong piled high atop fresh lettuce, tomato, cucumber, and more veggies. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Order in-store, online, or on the app at Subway under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Someone once gave this sage advice on investing. Know what you own and why you own it. At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to understand what you own and why you own it. Whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with, give us a call at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
From 3 yards deep this time, he's hit across the 15, and the long returns for Grandview have come to an end. Tackled at the 18-yard line.
Great job right there by Jordan Malcolm, the first guy down on the kick coverage unit for the Ravens. And for Grandview, they're going to start this possession inside their own 20. Oh, you're good.
14-13. Ravens trail by one. Inside 3 minutes to play. First quarter here in Atchison. Gussie, you got a new statistical program going on here. We'll share some numbers with our listeners as the afternoon wears on. But right now, we'll see what Grandview's going to do. This is its longest field of the day. They'll begin this drive. They'll mark him at the 19. From their own 19-yard line, Johnny Sullivan will give it off to running back. Straight ahead, nothing doing. Jensen Gates is submarined. May have fallen forward for a single-yard. Gavin Spangler, middle linebacker out of Katy, Texas, for Benedictine with the stop. He had a good week last week also.
Yeah, Gavin Spangler is the guy who rotates in, and Benedictine does a good job of rotating in a lot of linebackers, just try to keep those guys fresh. But Gavin Spangler is kind of that more in-the-box type linebacker. He likes to come downhill and stop those runs, and right there shows it all.
Five in the pattern for the first time today for Grandview. Three left, two to the right. Nobody in the backfield with quarterback Sullivan. Snap back. Ravens press. The pass over the middle, and it is broken up at the 50. What a hit applied by the Ravens secondary, and nobody likes hitting harder than Tyler Tierney.
Yeah, that time Tyler Tierney was coming across the field, and he lined up the wide receiver Nick Danielson and was able to light him up. It'll be a 3rd and 9 now for the Grandview offense. And if I am the officials, I'm probably taking a look at Danielson because laid on the ground for just a moment until one of his teammates came over and kind of drug him to his feet.
And they have now dragged him over to the sideline where the trainers are taking a look at him on the bench across the way. 2 minutes to go in the opening quarter. Ravens down 1. Grandview looking at a 3rd down 9 at their own 20. Back to throw again is going to be Sullivan. Looking left. Throwing deep. Has his big receiver and overshoots him in midfield. Benedictine had over under coverage.
Down.
And slow to get up, Brandon Martin.
Yeah, Brandon Martin now is going to get up, and he's chirping at Tyler Tierney.
Yeah, he's having a word.
Tierney lit him up right there as Tyler Tierney's out there just making some guys pay for some things. Brandon Martin is now going to take the long walk over to the far sideline. And for the Ravens, this will be the first time either offense has been stopped this afternoon. It will bring up a 4th and 9 for Grandview and deep in their own territory after that ill-advised kick return.
Ravens making some crazy changes, some odd changes, as Buteau does not drop back deep. They'll let Trey go back. And now add your between decisions. Do I feel it? Do I let it bounce? He let it bounce, and it's going to go all the way down to the 11-yard line.
Well, you understand why they probably brought in somebody else to return kicks, because last week when we were at William Penn, we didn't see Buteau field a single punt. This time the Ravens decided not to field one either, and a spectacular punt by Cody Krushwitz, and it will pin Benedictine back at their own 12.
The confusing thing about that substitution was, not that Trey was back there, he was a great return man, but they had people, you know, moving around and feeling like they were not really set and not really in place where they wanted to be.
I think they were maybe a little worried, too, about Grandview rolling the dice early.
Long first down, deep first down for Benedictine at their own 12-yard line. Minute 40 to go in the first. Pitch is going to go to the right side, cut to the middle, 15, getting up to the 20, close to a first down. That's Joe Withrow running for the first time today.
What a block in the backfield by Bryce Rosenborough, the big 6'2" right tackle out of Wayne State. He was able to hook around and knock out the outside linebacker and able to open up a little cutback lane right there for Rayshon Mills, able to get the Ravens the first down.
Withrow still in at the running back spot. Receivers, 2 to the left, 1 to the right, wing to the right side, quarterback back to throw. Garrett looking, plenty of time, throws into traffic and has it right into the hands of a defender. It's intercepted at the 30, back to the 20, down to the 15, weaving to the 10, spaying on his feet, down to the 6-yard line. Kyle Klugian does a bad decision, throwing into double coverage, and tell you what, that guy is a good defender, and he's going to pick that off.
Yeah, and Garrett Kettle struggles a little bit against Grandview, and up until that play right there, he has made pretty good decisions, but through 2 interceptions at Grandview last season and right there, just never saw the linebacker sneak underneath that route.
So the Raven defense, who had come up with a huge series a moment ago and had given Benedictine a chance to take its first lead, well, now that defense has got its back to the wall after the interception. With a minute to go in the opening quarter, Grandview leads by 1, and they've got the ball first and goal to the Ravens 7. Sullivan under center. Back of the game, over to the right side is Brandon Martin. Gates, the running back, will take the handoff. Hit in the backfield. He's going absolutely nowhere. Tremendous play by Isaac Anderson, the first guy in there for BC.
Second guy coming off the stack is Tyler Tierney, and he is just amped out there right now. The free safety coming up in the box. Not many times are you going to see a free safety in the nose tackle make a tackle in the backfield. It'll bring up now a 2nd and goal from the 10 for Grandview in what most likely will be the final play of the first quarter.
Again, it'll be Brandon Martin. He'll be wing to the right. Long catch. 2nd and goal from 10 away. QB's back looking at Martin. Looking at Martin. Now throwing to the back of the end zone, and it's going to be out of the reach of Bennett Spry. That pass was 6 inches away from being a score.
And now the Ravens have a player down in the backfield. As right as the quarterback, Johnny Sullivan, let go of the football, we saw a Raven defensive player right there next to him, and he kind of went down and clutching his lower leg.
We got only 15 seconds to go. We're going to hang on here just for a moment, maybe, and Okay, so as the day goes on, we'll try to keep an eye around the conference. There'll be some scores coming in. It's much too soon for any of that quite yet, but you know, there's some great games going on around the heart of America.
Yeah, you got to think though that nobody's going to be as close as this thing today, right?
Well, probably not. Kansas fans saw the Jayhawks with a thrilling win last night. So it's one, or rather, is it 1-1 now or 1-0
for 1-0
for Kansas. And
so for the games going on around the Heart of America Athletic Conference, most of them afternoon games. It will be Peru State at Central Methodist. It's going to be Clark, Missouri Valley. You're going to have Cobra Stockton, Mid-America, William Penn, and Baker. The only night game being played down in Nixa is as Graceland and Evangel. That's a 6 o'clock start tonight.
Zach Gill, the one who's banged up, but he's coming up and got somebody on each side of him, but he's walking off the field. And for Grandview, it is third and goal at the 10. Three receivers short side, two receivers wide side. Back to throw, Johnny, over the middle, wide open, touchdown, and another catch for Brandon Martin. The Ravens unable to defend him yet.
Yeah, that time Brandon Martin just ran straight down the field, found a little void in the defense, and was able to catch a 10-yard touchdown strike with 11 seconds left here in the first quarter of play.
PAT coming up again. We've seen an awful lot of offense in the opening quarter. We saw a lot of offense in the first quarter last night also. Here's the end-over-end kick. It is up, and it is good, and we are taking a break. 11 seconds left, first quarter now. Grandview 21, Benedictine 13.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes two complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and five clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care. Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
A little swift kick is going to be taken by an up man for Benedictine, who runs into some tacklers and kind of runs over a couple of them. It's a nice little return to the 35-yard line.
That's going to be Spence Witt, a 5'11 senior inside linebacker from Higginsville, Missouri.
Time it up for one more play for Benedictine here in the opening quarter. Kansas State has just pushed to a 24-0 lead over the Sycamore. Is that right? Stanford? Cardinal?
Cardinal.
But they got that tree as their logo. I mean, help me out with that.
That's amazing.
First down, Ravens. Last play of the opening quarter. High snap. Hand off to the running back. Slammed for a loss, and that is the end of one. We're in Atchison, Kansas. First quarter in the book. We'll be back with a second. Your score, Grandview 21, Benedictine 13.
Is open, and now is the time to schedule your tan. With three tanning beds and packages to fit your budget, it's the place to go. And new at Snap Fitness, Good Sense Meals. Need something fast and delicious for lunch or dinner? Stop in and check out all the options. No membership required to take advantage of tanning and meals. Call Snap Fitness at 913-367-1511 for more information on tanning, 24-hour gym memberships, or their new Good Sense Meals.
Your car is a complex machine filled with the latest technology. It needs quality service to keep it running right. By taking your car or truck to Lewis Chevrolet Buick in Atchison, you will have a peace of mind knowing your vehicle will be maintained and repaired by highly trained professionals. The Lewis Chevrolet Buick Service Department stands behind their work with a guarantee you will feel good about. So bring your vehicle into the people who understand it best. Lewis Chevrolet Buick, great cars and great service. Call them at 913-367-3000 or stop by 314 Woodlawn in Atchison.
We'll great to have you along with us here this afternoon from Wilcox Stadium on the Benedictine campus in Atchison, Kansas, getting set for the first play of the second quarter, 21-13, Grandview in front, Benedictine with the ball. And with that, quarterback Garrett Kettle is back to throw it. Lots of time now, has his pass over the middle, batted down and knocked away. It looked like maybe Cam Maxfield, the nose tackle in there. Somebody got a hand up and slapped that ball free, and it'll bring up for Benedictine now a 3rd and 13 from their own 31-yard line, just moments into the second quarter. Three big, strong defensive frontline men for the Vikings. Maxfield, 6'285", Brown, 6'1", 255, and Mosley, 6'2", 304. Third down long, motion all the way out to the left sideline. And again, back to throw. Kettle steps up. And now pitches it to the right side. It's going to get to the line of scrimmage and maybe back to the original line of scrimmage, but no more than that. Benedictine will be forced to punt the football away. Will this be the Ravens' first punt of the afternoon? Yes, I believe it will, won't it?
It will. So the first two possessions were touchdown. Possession number three ended in an interception that turned into a Grandview touchdown, and this will be the first punt of the afternoon for Benedictine. And out there, Matt Heinrich. Last week, had only one punt, went 56 yards.
Well, again, it'll be his first punt here today, and a single man is back deep for Grandview for the return. It's going to be Bennett Spry. And he is giving a lot of space to Matt Heinrich. And I was watching in the pregames, in the warmups, Matt was constantly kicking 50-yard from the line of scrimmage kind of punts. He was doing a great job, and now somebody's taking a timeout. Well, hold on to it, but
yeah.
Why?
Grandview took a timeout, and I'm counting the players out there. There's 11. Bennett Spry is the deep back, and that's probably who they're going to want back there. One thing I can figure right now is Benedictine backed up into their own territory a little bit. The one thing that you probably need to look out for, Evan Aguiar, who is your long snapper, is on the sideline in a boot today, so you're going to have Cole Bierman as your long snapper, so maybe Grandview's changing up a little bit and maybe going to go after this kick.
So Heinrich, the punter, will be standing at his own 20-yard line. The return man, Spry, will be standing at his own 25-yard line. The 35 is the line of scrimmage. So again, he's expecting about 50 yards on this kick. Fourth down, long call. The snap is perfect right at the face gear. The kick is spectacular away from the return man, and he'll catch it running out of bounds at the 23-yard line. Got a 52-yard punt.
Yeah, perfect punt right there, right? Not only did you get great distance, you got great hang time, and you punted it right onto the sideline where if the returner was going to field it, their momentum was going to carry them out of bounds. So a great job by right there by the Raven punt unit, and Grandview will be out there for their fifth possession of the ball game. They have had now three touchdowns and a punt.
Well, the Ravens need to turn them over again here and would like to take the ball on a turnover. BC trails with a minus one ratio here on takeaways. First and 10. Quarterback will hand off into the left side. Nice bit of deception. Allows the wide receiver to open up and cut into the middle where Jalen James will make, I believe, his second tackle of the afternoon after a 5-yard pickup, second down for Grandview. That was a nice job by Grandview. Very deceptive kind of play, is he? Quarterback made a couple of fakes and then hands off into the middle of the line. Sullivan is up under center here on the second down 5 call. Play action, back throw, being chased, running, throwing off balance. A wide open receiver catches the pass. Nicely done by Gerald Sama, the guy with the reception out of Des Moines, 6'1", but Isaac Anderson was putting a pressure on, but Isaac not fast enough to catch Johnny Sullivan.
Yeah, Sullivan did a great job of putting a little distance between himself and Isaac Anderson, and Sama was running what looked like a little bit of a post route. He broke it off and turned it more into a drag once he realized that his quarterback was in trouble. That is a veteran receiver to come back to the football.
First and 10 at their own 41. Grandview with the ball. They lead by 8. Here's a handoff in the backfield, and the defense was there as quickly as the ball was handed off, and again it's Isaac Anderson.
And Isaac Anderson really fired up. He's trying to get this defense going. Also in on the stop was Jalen James. a nice play right there for the Raven defense. It will bring up now a third and, what, 14, 15?
Yeah, just across the 35-yard line.
No, second, okay.
Just across the 35-yard line. 13 minutes to go in the opening half. Big play for the Raven defense here. They would love to get that football back. Second down and, let's call it 15. Snap back again, looking right, nothing, looking left, nothing. They set up the screen, and there is nothing but green. 45, 50, 45, 44-yard line. That was a spectacular call.
Yeah, and that was all set up. Jalen James had figured it out. He was right there, and then all of a sudden, a nice little blindside block by Grandview helped get Jalen off of his spot and able to pick up big yardage on that screen play.
First and 10, Grandview. Vikings have rolled up, it feels like, a ton of yards in this game so far.
The new stat system can't figure out a block or a missed extra point, and so that's why everything's behind.
So it's, so we're in trouble. First and 10 to 44. Number two pencil and a big cheap tablet, Gus. I always tell you that. Here's a pass to the right side, and Brandon Martin, the intended receiver, guarded by Davion Drayton. That's a matchup that Grandview likes, but the pass was a little bit out of his reach, and it went incomplete.
Yeah, they like that because Brandon Martin, we've talked about him throughout the broadcast, 6 foot four, 222-pounder, coming to Grandview from the University of Arkansas, a former four-star recruit when he went to the SEC. He is big, he is physical, he is tough to guard out there, but nice job by Davion Drake down to Hazelwood East.
Second and 10 at the Benedictine 44. Grandview has the football, and here's a straight-ahead run. Running back bounces now outside, crosses the 40, and will not get to the 39-yard line as the Ravens stand him up and push him back. And the first guy there, Tyler Tierney. I'll tell you what, between Anderson and Tierney, now we got a little chit-chat going on between players down on the Ravens sideline. And the first guy in the middle of it, Coach Osborne, separating everybody and saying, hey, none of this, gentlemen.
Yeah, well, here's what happened is that play happened on the sideline. Tyler Tierney with another big knockout hit on the running back. Well, the left guard, Noah Clark, really wasn't a fan of it. He came over and got in the middle of it, and quickly Coach Osborne was over there to separate all the players. And now it will be a third down for Grandview, third and 5.
Raven fans making a little bit of racket now, trying to help their team from the sideline on this third down call. Back to throw, Sullivan looks left, man, wide open, the tight end catches it, picks up the first down, and darts out of bounds with about a yard to spare. First and 10, Grandview again. You need 5, you get 6, you move the chain.
Yeah, and Grandview over the years has done really well with the tight end position. And remember, I mean, for years they had Stevie Sarcone out there, and that time it was T.J. Coonan on the reception. A first down for Grandview. The ball inside the 35. They're going to mark it down at the 33-yard line.
You look at Grandview. We've talked about how they recruit so well at home, so well from the state of Iowa. Very, very few players on this roster are not Iowa natives. It's first and 10. Again, handoff running back straight ahead to the 30, maybe 29. Give him about 4 on that first yard carry. And there was a smack to the side of the head, and there's a penalty marker sailing. These two guys were nose-to-nose, and that's bad enough, but you cannot lose your cool. And, I don't know, punching somebody in the helmet, that's not good. That's not a good idea at all.
Yeah, Joe Glazer is going to get credit for the tackle right there, and then we're going to have a little altercation away from the football. And Tyler Tierney, one of those captains. Tyler Tierney, one of those captains for Benedictine. They have 9 captains this season. He came over and let the player involved know that, hey, we can't be doing this against a great team like Grandview. So the 15 yards will push it down to the 15-yard line. Grandview will have it there, first and 10.
Ravens making a handful of substitutions now into the defensive unit. 10.5 to go in the opening half. 21-13 Grandview. They've got the lead. They've got the ball. And right now they've got offensive momentum. Ravens looking to stop them here. The jet sweep to the left side, angling to the 15, angling to the 10, and caught from behind after a 9-yard gain by Jalen James. But because this is not the first time we've seen that play, and every time it has been successful.
Yeah, the Ravens are going to bring Zach Gill into the ball game. They're going to take Solomon Wallace back out. And right now the Raven defense has had good plays, but then a penalty like that, and that's one of the things you talk to Coach Osborne in. We didn't see those things against William Penn, those mental mistakes and things like that. We are starting to see them in a game like this, and you can't afford it against Grandview.
Second and two at the Ravens' 7-yard line.
Johnny's changing the play at the line.
Granby looking to extend its lead. Ravens got everybody up along the line of scrimmage. Handoff is going to go to the running back. He splits through, gets to the 5, first and goal at the 3. Once, if you bring everybody up to the defensive front line, once you get through that step, you've got some room to go, and that's what happened there.
Yeah, well, they always say if you're even, you're leaving, and right there, a nice little run. Checking out of the ball game, Joe Burke. They're going to bring Isaac Anderson back in, and Ravens really going to have to grid up right here on this first and goal from the 3.
9:20 left in the half. Grandview, who leads right now by 8. You got Anthony Turner over the left side. He moves, but then gets reset. First and goal, handoff running back, cuts back into the middle, gets stood up, and will not move into the end zone. They're going to have him down at the 2-yard line, so give him 1. It is now second and goal from the 2-yard line. Yeah, because you talked about the leadership on this Benedictine team. I mean, 9 team captains, kind of an unheard of sort of number, but you've got some upperclassmen, some guys to whom other players do look, and that's how they decided to sort it out this year.
9 captains basically got 1 per game.
Yeah. 8.5 to go in the half. Motion left. Handoff fullback. Rides the wave. Does he go in? He does not. It is 3rd and goal. Now from the 1-yard line.
That time they handed the ball off quickly to the big fullback, Nate Wilcoxon. Nate shows up as a fullback. Redshirt freshman at Urbandale, Iowa.
You're going to see Grandview make a few more changes, and Dom Wright-Walton, the 5'6 sophomore, is going to come in.
They're going to take both Martin and Turner out on this play.
So are we going right into the middle? Because you would think. They go to the I formation. First time we've seen them in an I today. Quarterback is going to roll right. Chased, throws the ball away, and that's because he was getting hit back there at the 20-yard line by Zach Gill. And tell you what,
good to see Zach back in the game.
Absolutely. Zach, who has helped off a little bit ago, and right now Johnny's really mad. He thought he was roughed.
Yeah, and he might have been hit right as he was letting go of the football, but Johnny Sullivan not going to get the call right there, and Grandview going to bring the kick unit out? Yeah, it's going to be Nate Hamilton, who's our reigning conference player of the week for special teams.
And that's because last week in that win, he hit a field goal of 49 yards, setting a school record at Grandview with that 49-yard field goal.
And then he only went 4-5 on PATs.
The ball is going to be held by Cody Krushvitz, a freshman from Nevada, Iowa. Now penalty markers falling. It's going to be a delay game. They're just giving the kicker a little more space.
Get a better angle.
Yeah, it's shorter than a PAT from where the ball was spotted. So they'll kick it back a little bit. The ball will go down at the 13-yard line, making it a 23-yard effort here for first-team all-conference kicker Nate Hamilton. And it is away, and it is a screamer, and it is good. Timeout here at Atchison at 7:42 to go in the opening half. It is now Grandview 24, Benedictine 13.
Are you confused about the stock market? Feel like you are taking too much risk? Do you just feel lost at times on what to do? If you are looking for investment guidance in these uncertain times, Hamada Wealth Management is here to assist you. They believe it is important to not just make money, but preserve it. To schedule your no-cost income and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management.
Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
JAIR FM Horton, Atchison.
It's back. The featured blizzard of the month at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill is the Pumpkin Pie Blizzard. Real pumpkin pie pieces, whipped topping, and nutmeg. Blended in soft serve. Pumpkin season is here. And surprise, a second blizzard of the month, the Pecan Pie Blizzard. Those great blizzards along with the new fall blizzard menu, and you can't go wrong at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill.
Well, the Benedictine kick return unit comes out of the field, but they really didn't need them as that ball lands 8 yards deep and goes out the back of the end zone. And it's 7:42 to play in the half. Here in Atchison, Kansas, it is going to be 1st and 10. Benedictine, Ravens are going to take the football off the touchback.
So that was the first score in the second quarter, that 26-yard field goal by Nathan Hamilton for Benedictine. They scored on their first two possessions, then followed up with an interception and a punt. So right now the offense has kind of stalled out a little bit, and they've got to get restarted.
Rayshon Mills, the Raven running back, the 5'11 senior, 210-pounder out of Gilroy, California. Last week, 14 runs, 67 yards. Going to hand off again to Rayshon. He will dance into the middle, pick his way forward for 2 or 3 yards. But, guys, I think Rayshon is a running back that's going to need a little bit more daylight than that. Rocky Schoenfelder with the stop, one of several players on the Grandview team out of Bettendorf.
If you notice what the Ravens have done in the backfield today, it has been strictly Rayshon Mills. The only time he wasn't in there, it was the Jashawn Todd play.
2nd and 7. Kettle is going to throw. Kicks it over to his running back. 4 white jerseys in front of him, and he's hit by every one of them. There will be a loss on that play. And Rayshon's got to come up to Garrett and say, man, what are you doing to me?
Well, and I really like Rayshon as a runner, but you got to understand, he's a converted fullback to a running back, so that little swing pass is probably not exactly for him. And, yeah, he struggles to catch that pass and get turned upfield. It'll bring up a 3rd and 9. And for the first time today, we're going to see Damon Wiegand.
3rd and long for Benedictine. An apparent passing down. Trey will go motion to the right side. Garrett is back to throw, goes right, and just plain misses Harry O'Neill. The pass was way out in front of him unless Harry got held up or tangled up at the line of scrimmage. I don't know, but that pass was certainly uncatchable.
You know something we've not seen from the Ravens in a while? Vertical routes.
Yep, number 9.
Right?
Eight,
I mean, like, we're starting to get away from some of those vertical routes that really worked in the first two possessions, and now they're going to more of those swing passes and little outs. Right now, the Ravens have to stretch the field a little bit, open up some of that underneath stuff.
And the Benedictine possession, very short. 6:26 to go. They took less than a minute off, didn't they? You know, just about a minute 20. Here's the kick away. Not real deep, but a fair catch called for and made by Grandview at their own 45-yard line. So that was like a 30-yard punt. An excellent field position for Grandview, who, with 6:20 to play in the opening quarter, he's already 24-13. They've got momentum, Gus. They've got the football with great field position.
Yeah, the Ravens are going to have to force a turnover right now. You talked in the pregame with Coach Osborne, and he said, you know, one of the goals is to be +2 on turnovers. Already they're behind the 8-ball, so they're going to have to go +3 to get to that +2 point.
Jensen Gates on the left hand of quarterback Johnny Sullivan, 1st and 10. Grandview at their own 45. 2 to the left end, 1 to the right for the junior quarterback. The handoff is going to go to Gates. He is hit behind the line of scrimmage, and 3 defenders just wrap him up and sling him to the ground. Gavin Spangler, Isaac Anderson, the first 2 of those guys.
Coming in late to help clean that up, Josh Morris, a cornerback over here for the Ravens. But a nice stop on 1st down, and now Penn looking at a 2nd and long. They're going to bring into the ball game Arthur Braden and switch out the running back for Jensen Gates.
I'll tell you what, I'm really impressed with how Isaac Anderson has been playing here today. 2nd and 10. They'll say Gates did get back to the line of scrimmage, the Grandview 45-yard line. Again, the quarterback is back to throw, has a man coming out of the backfield. That is Arthur Braden, who just came into the game, makes the catch, tackled immediately, and again, no gain. That was Connor Walker in there.
Great open field tackle right there by Connor Walker, second team all-conference guy last year, playing out in space one-on-one with Arthur Braden, but did a great job of breaking down, making the tackle in space. That'll bring up a 3rd and 9 as they are going to give Braden 1 yard on the play. Braden will check out of the ball game, and for Grandview, they're going to bring Jensen Gates back in.
So Grandview taking a page out of the Raven offensive book, thus, because they were also shortening up the game. You notice it how it's run and the little out pass, the little pass coming out of the backfield, 3rd down and a long 9. 5 in the pattern this time. Quarterback is back over the middle and throws it to traffic and completes it at the 30-yard line to Nick Danielson. 1st and 10 at the Benedictine 29. That pass was perfect.
It was a great job by quarterback Johnny Sullivan. You talk about a guy who's been a 3-year starter for Grandview. He understood something right away. He understood that his receiver, Nick Danielson, was matched up with a middle linebacker and running a little bit of a slant pattern over the middle of the field. You're just going to get across the face of that linebacker. It's a great matchup and a good job by a veteran quarterback.
And moving the sticks, Grandview continues to own the football. They own a lead, and they have a lot of momentum here. Straight ahead run from the fullback who just puts his head down. I will tell you that Gates didn't have any idea where anyone was at. He just put his head down and just kept running forward. Joe Glazer for BC with the stop, but a gain of 5 on a 1st down run. I've been wondering how well running backs see in the middle of a lot of traffic, but I guarantee on that time he saw nothing but his shoelaces. 24-13. Grandview. Hope you're enjoying Benedictine football here on KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison. Interesting formation, overloaded to the left side, and then they'll just have a little wraparound handoff. Nowhere to go. Joe Glazer again with a stop in the middle for Benedictine. Man, that was a nice tackle for Joe.
Great job right there by Joe. You talk about a guy who must watch a lot of film during the week because they went to that kind of an unbalanced formation. And Joe knew what to expect right there. He cut down and was right there in the middle. Now Johnny Sullivan having a little problems trying to understand exactly what offensive coordinator and head coach Joe Woodley wants from his team on this play.
Kansas State has just won 24-7 in their opener, Manhattan, Kansas. So
Dallas.
Or rather, Dallas, right, is AT&T. So congratulations to them. 3rd down 5. Quarterback's back, looking left, throwing left, and it is going to be incomplete. That was well defended. That ball was thrown to about the only place it could have been thrown, and it was uncatchable there. Zach Gill doing a great job, and again, I'll reiterate, it's good to see Zach back out of the field. I was concerned about him when they helped him off a little while ago. It is 4th down for Grandview, and now, after hitting last week a 49-yard field goal, Nate Hamilton is out there for a 41-yard effort from straightaway. Down and up, and that thing has got lots of distance, and it's good. That thing not only wasn't close, it was good for another 15 or 20 yards. Timeout on the field, 2:50 to go in the half, and Grandview extends its lead. Vikings 27, Benedictine 13.
At Union State Bank, we've never stopped learning. In over 120 years, we've never stopped expanding our technology. To keep Union State Bank of Atchison and your finances moving forward, we provide innovative banking services while protecting your information. From our Union State Bank app to mobile and online banking tools, we're always looking ahead to serve you better without losing that small-town banking feel you love. Learn more today at mybankusb.com.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Retirement planning is not just about retirement, but about planning. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary review of your current retirement situation. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management.
Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC, Hamada Wealth Management Group, and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
Not only does Nathan Hamilton just connect on a 41-yard field goal, but then he connects on a kickoff that lands 9 yards deep and puts Benedictine again 1st and 10 off the touchback. 2:50 to go in the opening half. Still enough time for the Ravens to put together some kind of a drive. They will not take a lead into the locker room, but because what they need to do is get a little momentum going into the locker room.
Had a lot of opportunities, right? Last week against William Penn, you only had 9 possessions in the entire game. We've already had 6, and we still got 3 minutes to play here in the first half.
Kettle gets a snap, wraps around, everybody's moving, penalty markers all over the place. And
a tight end about 7 yards down the field.
BC had, it's good. BC had switched out and brought Damon Wiegand in as the runner in the backfield.
So they're going to have Damon in, and you got to expect maybe the Ravens are going to a little bit of a two-minute offense right here.
Well, that's just about right, because that's the kind of time they've got. Now it's going to be first and 15 from their own 20-yard line.
One of the other things we have not seen from this Raven offense today is that tempo, right? Like, in the first 2 games we've seen Benedictine under head coach Joel Osborne, he likes to go a little tempo every once in a while. That has not been the case today against Grandview.
I think they'd like to, but it seems like something must happen. And I don't know, the officials are not helping matters as they've kind of slowed down a little bit of that rhythm, if you will, of the game. Now they're going to get the ball set. And here we go. 2:50 left in the half. First and 15. Benedictine at the 20. Handoff in the middle. There's nothing. It'll bring up a second and 15.
And
not a lot of creativity with that call.
So Wiegand, with his 4th carry on the season, he'll have 4 carries for 3 yards this year. And for Benedictine, they are going to, here we go. Ja'Shawn Todd is going to check into the ball game, and he's going to replace Harry O'Neill.
Felix King, see, he's spotted him, and now he's yelling across the field to the far sideline to his coaching staff, and he's like,
care.
Hey.
I don't think you can cover him, I mean, with that speed.
Right. He's wanting over-the-top help, probably. Second down and long. Back to throw. Looking, throwing deep. He's got him downfield, and what a catch at the 40-yard line, Ja'Shawn Todd! My goodness! That was a, 40-yard pass play.
So Joel's got some burners on this team with the cornerbacks. And the other day, he said, this guy's like a 4-4. He might even be faster than that type kid. That's exactly what he is. Ja'Shawn Todd is a home run hitter.
And Felix King knew he was in trouble, ran as fast as he could, and he still couldn't get there. Had the pass been thrown a little closer to him, it would have been all the way. Back to throw again. Garrett. Now he's chased. Now he's throwing off balance. He just throws that thing away. Probably not a bad idea.
Not a bad play right there by quarterback Garrett Kettle. I would have liked him to maybe roll a little further and make sure you were definitely clear of the pocket right there as you threw the ball away. And now, with the incomplete pass, he'll stop the clock with 1:52 left here in the first half. Ravens have it 2nd and 10 at the 40.
Trey Hatcher to the right side. Court Madison, young man out of Topeka, is Washburn Rural. Over to the right side, also to the right, Austin Buteau.
Got lots of formational problems right now.
2nd down 10. Garrett Kettle is back, comes out of the backfield, hits his running back, goes outside trying to get to the edge, but Damon Wiegand is going to be mowed down after a 4-yard carry. He was angling over trying to get out of bounds to stop the clock, unable to successfully do that, was brought down by Drew Buffelli from Eldridge, Iowa.
Buffelli is a guy that Coach talked about in the pregame. We knew coming into this ball game, he was one of the top tacklers for them last year. He hasn't done much today. That was his first tackle. Only had 5 tackles last year against Benedictine.
We were also told about Nate Weiland. He is such a great player, but we haven't heard anything out of him today.
Nothing.
The Ravens have done a good job on him. 3rd down 6, Benedictine. Kettle back. Pass batted and is going to go incomplete. The pass slapped by Clay Freimuth. And there was no one anywhere near Reed Levi. He was the only guy on the west side of the field.
Do you remember Reed Levi had that same thing happen to him last week when we were at William Penn? It was an underneath route, and he had run the post over the top, and the safety just kind of let him go.
That's a quarterback tunnel vision kind of a thing when you've got your mind so focused on a single individual and you don't do the check down, and now the Ravens are going to go for it on 4th down.
This will be the 6th time they've gone for a 4th down this year.
Minute to play in the first half. Kettle is back, steps up, drops back, steps up, hit, breaks away, rolls right, throws right, a man's wide open, cut at the 12, 10, 5. Did he step out of bounds? He did at the 12-yard line.
Who was it? Reed Levi. He's been wide open on a lot of these plays, and a great job by Kettle, not to flush out of the pocket, but to step up into the pocket. had some time, found Reed Levi, and this is a big possession for the Ravens. 54 seconds left in the first half. You got to remember, they're going to get the ball to start the second half. So, really, if you want to milk this thing down a little bit and then go into the end zone and try not to give Grandview another shot at it.
Ravens are going to bring Harry O'Neill out of the game. And first and 10 at the 12-yard line. Two to the left, one to the right. Now motion to the left. Here's the jet sweep. Looking for the edge. Trying to get to the corner. Nothing doing. Got back to the line of scrimmage. Maybe able to fall forward was Jayshon Thon for a couple of yards. But, again, the Ravens have tried to run that same sweep several times. It has not really gained anything today.
Yeah, and that time Jayshon Todd was trying to run it like it was drawn up. Get to the outside of that wide receiver and then cut it upfield. He had a little bit of an avenue just right outside the tight end box, but instead tried to skirt it a little too wide.
Ravens have taken a timeout. We're going to hang on to it right here.
You haven't talked about this all day.
Oh, man, we need to talk about this. At halftime coming up here on Carrie, I couldn't figure out the cryptograph there. Halftime today, as we do over the years, talked to former Raven players, and we've been talking this season to, and will be all year, to guys who've been on some of the playoff teams that are being recognized in the Hall of Fame. And we are going to talk to Matt Fowler. Matt, an interesting guy, got a great story, played for some great Raven teams, and you may remember, right about seeing that official standing right outside that pylon, right there, we might remember a play that culminated on that very spot. I think we're going to try to get around to talking about that play during our conversation.
Did you remember it?
I think vaguely. He remembered a little bit about some of the generalities. So Matt Fowler coming up at halftime. Stick with us. It is a great conversation. Second down, Ravens at the 10. Second down and 8. They got to get this thing down to the 2-yard line. Garrett is back. Timing pattern. Throws it out the back of the end zone. And double coverage again on Jayshon. Now, Jayshon could do a lot of things because going up over guys. Is that Austin down there?
Yeah.
Well, even Austin, you're not going to go up over a lot of guys, and you need to get that ball into the end zone here. 40 seconds to go in the half. Oh, by the way, are they in four down territory at this point? At this point, do you take three? Does three do you any good?
Yeah, three might help you.
Ravens are going to utilize their second timeout.
I don't blame Coach Osborne right now for utilizing these timeouts. You've got them. Here's your chance to really go over some things and figure out what you want to do. That last play, there just really wasn't much there. The advantage was that Kettle did throw that ball where nobody was going to get to it.
Matt Fowler, number
18.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't even a test.
No.
Didn't have to refer to any of your stack of reference material over here.
Because he was 18 and your big defensive end was 17.
Matt Fowler coming up at the half. Benedictine Band making his way around. So they're going to go a quarter of a mile in order to get back here and get position. How about that? That'll get you warmed up for a halftime performance. Here comes Benedictine on offense, third down 8 at the 10. Deep in Grandview territory. Running back to the left. QB's back to throw. Looking right. Throwing right. Going to that right corner and getting tangled up with the defender. Is there a marker? There is none. DeMario Luckett.
Yeah, DeMario Luckett working one-on-one with Trey Adger out there. And Trey was looking for the penalty no marker sales. And so the Ravens are going to attempt a field goal right here.
Tinker Trammell coming in. Remember, he is, what, 1 for 2 point after today, having hit the left upright with his second effort. This time from the left hash mark, it'll be a 27-yard field goal effort on its way. And did he get it in there? Nope, missed that too. So the Benedictine kicking woes continue. So the Ravens, 1 of 2. Point afters and over from field goals, and after a tremendous series downfield and a nice offensive possession, they come away absolutely empty-handed.
Yeah, I mean, you start looking at the 4 points you've left on the scoreboard here in the first half. I mean, that makes this a 10-point game going into the break. But for the Ravens, Now you got to watch out. 31 seconds for Grandview. They still got two timeouts, and looks like they're going to just kneel on the football because, honestly, I figured they would maybe stretch the field and look for another real long field goal.
They'll go to that victory formation, take a knee, and that's going to do it. We'll be back. It's halftime in Atchison. The intermission score at Wilcox Stadium, Grandview 27, Benedictine 13.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes two complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and five clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care.
It's back to school and also to the seasonal routines filled with school time errands and activities. Hi, this is Dr. Brian Casey of Union State Bank of Atchison and also a part-time college educator. As we get busier, Union State Bank makes keeping up with banking convenient and easy. With mobile banking, you can bank wherever you are, and you can pay bills and make transfers online and much more. With text alerts and our new budget bubbles, you'll stay right on track with Union State Bank no matter how busy life gets. NMLS number 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. I see.
Good to have you with us here this afternoon. Coming to you from Atchison, Kansas, Benedictine College football. Ravens and Grandview have come to halftime and 27-13 Grandview in front. The officials doing a nice job of sequestering the teams from one another, as this has been an emotion-filled game on both sides.
Yeah, but you kind of knew coming into the ball game that it would be just that. You talk about two nationally ranked teams. You talk about two teams who, I'm going to say, in the short amount of time they've been in the conference together, they've got a little bit of history with each other. I mean, like, these two teams, there's not a whole lot of love lost here. So, in the first half, it was a lot of fun. Early on, especially, a lot of back and forth, but for the Ravens, their offense kind of went stale there for possessions 3, 4, and 5. Now, they did get a little more vertical, brought Jayshon Todd in, tried to stretch the field a little more. I wouldn't be shocked in the second half if you don't see a little bit of Jacob Gathright for a chance to get him out there and really try to open this game up a little bit. For Grandview, they did a great job on the defensive side of things, and for their offense, they had one possession today that did not end in a score. They've scored two touchdowns, then they punted the ball, then a touchdown and two field goals to end out the first half.
And because we've still not had the clock started, the officiating crew has stayed on the field, and now they're going to wind it up. I've never seen a crew stay out this long before sending us to halftime. And yeah, if you're BC, you saw that you were able to do some things, but the Grandview offense, which you knew was very good, was not only good, but they were explosive at times.
Yeah, they really were. They were able to find some wide-open receivers in the first half, and I think this is caught up at all, 21-13, so no. I mean, but when we get halftime stats, or if we get halftime stats here today, you're going to see that Johnny Sullivan was having a good day with some big explosive-type plays. But really, for the most part, the Ravens have done a good job of keeping some of the other pieces quiet for Grandview. I mean, Tony Turner is going to get his. Brandon Martin is going to get his. But Benedictine has done a real good job of keeping Domari Walton down. They've also done a good job of keeping Nick Danielson really out of the mix.
And conversely, Grandview has been able to keep guys like Trey Adger completely out of the game. We've seen him out there for some kick returns, but he's been really no factor at all in the game here today.
I feel like we haven't even seen a reception out of Trey today. And, you know, he's a guy who last week, William Penn, had 6 receptions, 120 yards, and 2 receiving touchdowns. So you got to get a little more out of him. Haven't been able to hear anything out of Austin Buteau either. I mean, Grandview, who had maybe what I thought coming into the ballgame was a shaky secondary, having lost a lot of pieces out of that secondary from last season. Ravens just haven't really been able to get after him with some deep passes.
Well, it should be an interesting second half, and we're going to encourage you to stick around with us for that. Right now, though, we're going to take it to halftime. Intermission score at Wilcox Stadium in Atchison, Kansas. Grandview 27,
Benedict and 13. We'll be back to bring you the second half live.
Your Raven halftime is brought to you by Taco John's. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better. The Raven Van feature is up next here on KAIR 93.7.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
We're joined by Matt Fowler, former Benedict and Raven football player. Matt, it is so good to talk to you. How's it going, man?
It's going great. It's going great. I appreciate the chance to talk to you.
Class of what, 01, right?
So graduated, 03 was actually the class I graduated with.
Okay. So we need to maybe just catch up, thumbnail sketch the last 20 years. How's it going for you?
I know it feels like yesterday. I still talk to a lot of guys, and it's like, man, we can't believe we've been, you know, gone for 20 years, especially some of us, and it just kind of flies by. But, yeah, it's life has worked out very well for me. Had the opportunity to move on, started my own family, have three kids. My oldest is going to be a senior in high school this year.
Is he a football player?
A freshman. Say that again?
Does he play football?
So my oldest is a girl.
Okay.
But my middle is a freshman in high school, and he does play football. So I've been living vicariously through him a little bit, and he's got his first game. He's starting junior varsity right now, so I'm getting to kind of watch him and kind of still stay around football. So that's been good.
Well, we're talking to you and to a lot of guys from some of the various playoff teams because it's an anniversary season for a number of those, and that would include your 2001 run that this team was spectacular. And before we talk about the team and this, you know, the season as a whole, first of all, we got to talk about some of the guys. For me, it's always about the guys, and you had a classic group of I don't necessarily want to say characters, but certainly a bunch of guys who would leave a lasting impression on you, and I'm sure they have.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, one of my good friends even to this day is Guido Trinidad, who played linebacker. And we still get together. Even I live in Virginia now. He lives in Miami. And usually once or twice a year, he'll travel up here, or I'll travel down there. And I had the opportunity to actually live in South Florida for a while. And it's just those friendships. I mean, it's crazy that, you know, you're there in the moment and you don't realize these are going to be your lifelong friends. And, you know, with Coach Wilcox retiring and stuff, a lot of us had, you know, some conversations kind of about the good old days. And it's just, being at Benedictine was such an amazing experience. And being around Coach Wilcox was just some of the stuff he said and kind of taught and preached are things that I still kind of live by to this day. So it's just amazing the impact he had on not just us and the guys that were there at that time, but even before and after that time period. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, you're right. The guys is what kind of made it, and just the stories from back then and just the camaraderie and being around everybody. And, you know, I have so many just good stories of hanging out in the locker room and jacking around with each other. And even to this day, we'll just kind of laugh about the stupid stuff we were doing, but it was great.
You were there during the time of the Benedictine two-quarterback system, the alternating quarterback system. I mean, how was that? I mean, did that make a big difference? You, as a receiver, did you, like, say, man, I want to see Miles out there, or maybe, you know, that's not who I want in this situation? I mean, how did that work for you? How'd that feel?
Man, you're giving me goosebumps saying all these names, and I'm kind of going back to that time period. But, you know, it was weird when they came in because we didn't know how it was going to play out with two just unbelievably talented quarterbacks. And they made it work, and that was what was so cool about that team is, you know, they would split time, but they still would both come in the game and just be amazing. And really, as a receiver, I didn't see a difference. It was just the ball was coming no matter who was at quarterback, and they both had, you know, their certain skill sets that the coaches kind of figured out, you know, time and place and where they were going to put him in the game. And it just gelled. I mean, and it's weird because you don't see that a lot with a two quarterback system. Is not very popular. And for us to kind of make it work was just a testament to them and the coaching staff and just kind of that team we had.
The offense was so fun to watch. I mean, the defense was spectacular, but the offensive guys last week at halftime, we got to talk to Brad Hubbard, who was just nails out there. And you had the great offensive line with, you know, with Skaggs and Azell and Kellner and some of those big, big guys. I mean, that offense was formidable.
Yeah, man, you are pulling out the names now. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, we were so confident in games that we could just score points and do what we had to do. You know, the saying they used to say, well, you know, defense wins championships. And we used to kind of joke on the offensive side of the ball and say it was really us that was taking care of business. But, yeah, it was fun. And I think during that time was when we ran the no-huddle offense. And, I mean, it was a lot going on with the option and the other stuff. And, you know, Craig Johnson was the other receiver that was out there most of the time. And Matt Nierman and I think he was a freshman in 01, if I remember correctly. But, yeah, the line was huge. And we had Tom Bear, the, you know, probably the biggest tight end in the league at that time. But it was fun. Those were the glory days for me, and it's hard to believe it's been, you know, 20 years.
So you were there was it 2000 to 2003?
So, yeah, my first season was 99. Then last season was 02, so kind of okay. That.
So you were in the postseason. You were in the postseason almost every year.
Three out of the four, yeah.
And incredible games. I mean, but when people come back and they talk about Raven teams, and there have been so many great playoff teams, so many great playoff games, but you know where I'm going here. They all come back a play. There is one play in the history of Benedictine football that is just never going to go away. And the guy who caught that ball, I know who caught that ball, but I don't think he was supposed to catch that ball. Is there anything to this? Tell me the story of the Hail Mary pass.
Man, so this for me is yesterday. I mean, this thing, gosh, what a great day for me. That was my 21st birthday. You know, it was our home playoff game. We hadn't won a playoff game in however many years it had been. And so the way, and I remember this like yesterday, the way it was drawn up was I was supposed to run down the field, and it was supposed to be a tip play where I was supposed to try to out-jump everybody and tip the ball to Craig Johnson. The way it played out, though, is complete opposite, right? So I got jammed at the line. Craig, unbelievable decision on his behalf to just try to make it to the corner of the end zone, because all Miles said was, I'm throwing it to the corner of the end zone as far as I can. And Craig made it down there before me. I was jammed at the line. And all I remember is just running down the field as hard as I could. And the timer had already gone off, the buzzer that you hear. I mean, I've watched the video thousands of times, to be honest with you. And all I remember is that ball somehow gets tipped, and it's coming down right in the corner of the end zone, and I just dove, arms outstretched, caught it, and then that was the game. So such a right place, right time for me. It didn't play out like we drew it up, but it played out, you know, obviously in our favor, and we won the game.
And remarkably, I mean, and maybe to set the stage just a little bit for this, for that one fan out there who may not be familiar with this play, we were playing Northwest Oklahoma State out of Alma, Oklahoma. Had led for the big part of the game. Northwest had come back and scored, like with a minute to go in the game, and Benedictine now finds themselves down 4 points, and the clock has run down. The ball is around the 50-yard line-ish, you know, 45, and there's a couple of seconds left. There is one play left in the game, and in the season for somebody.
Yeah.
And then you have Craig Johnson,
really,
who, compared to a Matt Fowler, who is a tall young man. Craig Johnson is certainly not that.
No.
He's not the big guy down there, and yet he gets the tip.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it was incredible just because the way we drew it up. And, I mean, it was, you know, the team, everybody's holding hands, and, you know, anything we could get at that point. I think it was 2.9 seconds, if I remember correctly, left on the clock. And it was just a bomb of a throw, too. I mean, Miles threw that thing so high up in the air, and he gave us time to run down there. And, yeah, Craig was, you know, he would say he's 5'9". I'm guessing he's a lot shorter than that. And, I was more of one of the taller guys. So that's what the plan was. Tall guy run down, tip it, to him, but roles got reversed and it all worked out.
And, you know, we like to think that football shares with us and teaches us life lessons. If there's a life lesson to be gained from that play in particular, it would be never, ever give up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was, you know, it was one of those things I remember in the huddle when everybody was still thinking we were going to win that game, and which is just amazing with less than 3 seconds left that we're all in the huddle and we're talking about how we're about to win this game. And just having that feeling and, man, I mean, Coach Wilcox is amazing. I mean, he just stayed calm till the end, and you knew he's always going to have some sort of plan to do something. And, yeah, you're right. There's still a lot of stuff to this day I take from football that, you know, transitions over into real life and, you know, things that you're able to pass on to your own children. And it kind of all starts with football and the little lessons you make. And, you know, Wilcox did a great job of doing that when we were there. It was, just such an unforgettable experience.
Winning that game then against Northwest Oklahoma State propelled you to the next round of the playoffs and an opportunity to maybe get back one from an Evangel team that had given you like your only loss all season long. We go to Springfield on what may have been the windiest night that I have ever seen a football game played on, and led Coach Wilcox to make one of the most remarkable sets of decisions by kicking the ball in both halves.
Yeah, you're right. You're bringing back some memories now, because I remember being as a receiver, horrible weather for me, because I knew we're probably not going to throw the ball very much in this game. And I think it was cold and maybe even a little wet, and they had a turf field. But, yeah, that was our revenge game, because they were our only loss in the regular season up to that point. And, you know, we were able to travel all the way down to Springfield and then come away with a win, which is pretty cool, which propelled us then, of course, into the Final Four, which was, you know, even more remarkable.
And the thought that I remember from that Evangel game was every point scored by both teams was all scored to what I'm going to call the West goal with the wind behind them. Neither team scored into the wind that day. And by kicking both times, Benedictine was able to have the ball in both the second and fourth quarters and use that to come to the thrilling win on the road down there.
Yeah, see, I go back to my earlier statement, right? Coach Wilcox always had a plan. And it seemed like he just knew, you know, it's almost like he had a crystal ball and he could kind of figure out where the game was going to be and what we would need. But, yeah, you're right. I think everything was scored in that one end zone and nobody even made it down to the other side.
With today's social media and things, it makes it easier. And you indicated early on in our conversation, as we're talking to Matt Fowler, former Raven football players, that, you're still able to keep in touch with some of your old teammates and perhaps at some point you'll be able to get to town and get together with some of these guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the last time I've actually been back there was 2009, before I moved from the area. And, you know, but just staying in touch with guys has been great over the years and, you know, rehashing some of the stories and stuff. And, you know, it's good stuff. And then just, of course, following Benedictine football. I mean, I've been, you know, now you can watch the games on the computer or your phone or whatnot. And even a couple years ago when they made it to the national championship game, I remember we were actually moving up from South Florida to Virginia. And, I remember watching it on my phone, with my son as we're traveling up. And, so that was kind of a cool experience that, you know, I guess technology has allowed, us to kind of stay in contact more and stay up to date with what's going on with Raven football. So it's awesome.
as a guy who's gone through the Benedictine experience in both academically and athletically and has moved on to a successful career, if you were talking to some of these young Ravens today, you're out of school now 20 years, what would you tell them? Is there any advice, suggestions? I mean, what would you impart to one of these young guys?
Yeah, I would say, it seemed like a lot of people when they go away to school or when they got to Benedictine, it's that first semester. And once you get past that point of, hey, I'm not homesick anymore and I'm, feeling involved, and just stay the course. I mean, just the time I spent at Benedictine was just, it was amazing. I mean, just the family there, the tradition, and then, of course, being a part of the football team. It was it's a lifetime experience just to be a part of that, and just the friendships you make and the lessons you learn. It's a special place. It really is. And I remember showing up there my freshman year and just kind of having those questions if, this was going to work out for me. And I'm so glad I stayed and was a part of stuff that was bigger than me at the time. And just the opportunities that, having a degree from there and being to move on and do things in life. And, it all points back to Atchison, Kansas. And, it's a small place that most people haven't heard about once you move away from the area. But, it's one of those things that is kind of a magical and special place. And I would say, enjoy it while you can, be a part of stuff, meet people, take the opportunity to stay in the football program because, you'll regret it later if you don't. And I'm so glad, and I tell people that all the time, that I had that experience and was able to be there for 4 years.
Matt Fowler, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. I really appreciate you taking time out of what I know is a very hectic schedule. Thank you so much. It's been very enjoyable, and we look forward to seeing you maybe up here in Atchison sometime.
No, thank you for having me. It's good to hear a familiar voice from the plain days. So thank you again.
The second half is moments away. Thanks for listening to this week's Raven Fan Feature on the Taco John's Halftime Show.
And with that, we welcome you back again to Wilcox Stadium here on the Benedictine College campus. Halftime finds the visitors from Grandview out in front of the Ravens, 27-13. Many thanks to Joseph, our producer engineer back at the K Radio Sports Studios, for handling all of that stuff at halftime. Also, many thanks to Matt Fowler, our halftime guest, for spending a little bit of time with us and reminiscing a little bit. And Gus, as we go to the second half, you know that these teams have been huddled up. The coaches have been huddled up. If I'm Granby, I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what I want to do a whole lot better than I did in the first half, because I thought they looked very, very sharp.
Yeah, Grandview in the first half looked like a team who basically had everything they wanted to go for them. They were 4-7 on third down. Benedictine not bad at 3-5. Fourth downs, Grandview didn't attempt one, but 37 first half plays, and they were able to amass 238 yards of offense in the first half. Benedictine with 25 plays for 160 yards of total offense. If you remember back to the start of the game, Benedictine kicked the ball away, so here to start it in the second half, it will be the Raven return unit of Austin Buteau and Trey Adger back deep.
It has been overcast throughout the course of the afternoon. It continues to be that way, but it is a very, very pleasant afternoon here in Atchison, Kansas for college football, and we're glad to have you along with us for this Benedictine game here today. Right now, 71 degrees. Fantastic. The kick away, high and end over end, and Ravens are going to let it bounce out the back, and they will begin first and 10 of their own 25-yard line. So for the Ravens, it's as simple as this. You got to come out, guys, and maybe not just score a touchdown on that first possession, but you've got to begin to do something to establish your offense, to show that you have an ability to move the football with some degree of success. As the half went on, they were not doing that, and again, you can't afford to turn it over again. As a matter of fact, you really need a couple of takeaways.
Yeah, you need a couple of takeaways to get kind of back to where Coach Osborne likes to be. But you've got to establish yourself and do something with this first possession in the second half.
Tight end will shift over to the left side. Little wraparound handoff going to the left to the 25. Getting up to the 30-yard line is going to be, is that Damon running the ball to start? No, that's going to be Rayshon Mills.
And over there for Grandview to make the stop, you're going to have Cole Rollinger in on there. Coverage unit for Grandview. So they're going to give him about a six-yard gain. They'll bring up second and four for the Raven offense. They're going to go two to the right, one to the left.
You'll take 6 yards at a time, Benedictine Wood, on this particular series. Tight end is going to shift over to the right side. That's Court Madison. And, again, they're going to hand off to Rayshon. He's hit in the backfield. He gets away from the first tackler, but just pinballs forward. He was hit by a little cornerback and bowled him over Cole Rollinger with that stop. And Rollinger talking now to the Benedictine sideline.
But I always laugh. Like, and D-backs were always good at doing this. And quickly, the Ravens are going to race up over the football. We'll talk about it in a moment.
First down. Again, another handoff. Running back pushing forward for maybe 3 more yards.
But on that last play, we saw Rollinger come up, make the hit on Rayshon, and then they get up. They're feeling pretty good about themselves, but Rayshon picked up a first down, right? So you can be as happy as you want, but you didn't stop the play.
Now Kettle's going to run 40, 45, and a little foot first slide as he gets himself up with a first down across the 45 to the 46-yard line.
And the Ravens are speeding things up a little bit on this possession. They are going to make a substitution. Checking back in for Benedictine will be the tight end, Reed Levi.
Ravens are going to go very, very wide to the right side over there. I'm trying to look and see who that wide out is on the far side. 9-3 maybe for BC. Handoff going to go to Rayshon, 45. Stops, and instead of being able to pick his way through, he stops and the defense just closes on him. He will end up with a 3-yard gain.
Your wide receiver over there, Zach Bierman, 87.
Oh, okay.
So the Ravens are now going to bring into the ballgame Jacob Gathright. He'll replace Zach Bierman. And watch for Gathright up there. He's going to be one-on-one with Demario Luckett.
So Gathright is very wide right side, single man wide left side. Running back, he's about 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And Kettle is back to throw. Chased out of the pocket, rolling, running for his life. Goes, throws downfield, and it is going to be tossed out of bounds and turns into a good play for Benedictine.
Yeah, that time Gianni Angela was the guy, the strong safety. He had at the last moment shifted over the top coverage to try to help out Demario Luckett working against the wide receiver over there, Jacob Gathright.
Back into the game comes Buto and Wigan for Benedictine. Third down, 7. 12:48 to go in the third quarter. Ravens have taken the kickoff to begin the second half, and they're now looking to move the ball downfield. Motion will go over to the left side, and he'll plant there. Quarterback is back. Fires one over the middle. Crossing pattern is going to be caught. Cut back in for the first down. 45, 40 down the left side of the 36-yard line. That, where it was caught, was not going to be a first down, but Trey Adger, with quick feet, stopped. His defender shot by him, and Trey was able to advance for the first down and more as Rocky Schoenfelder gets the tackle on the play, but Benedictine will advance the chains, and this has been a very good first possession of the second half.
All right, first reception of the ball game for Trey Adger, coming off that 6-catch, 120-yard performance at Oskaloosa.
Tight end is going to race in and settle in on the left side for Benedictine, first and 10 at the 37. Now he'll shift over to the right side. Handoff, bouncing outside, looking for the edge, 35, angling, getting to the 33 goes Damon Wigand.
Wigan with his longest run of the season. It'll go for 3. It'll bring up a 2nd and 7 right there. And again, did you see what Grandview did? They really weren't worried about tackling him. They were punching at the football, knowing that he gave one up a pin last week. They're trying to get that football back away.
As a matter of fact, Damon on 3 carries, 3 yards, and a fumble. So he's a much, much better running back than that. He's showing it right here. 2nd down, 7. 11:45 to go in the third quarter. Benedictine with the football, trailing at 27-13. Swinging it over to the left side is going to be Reed Levi. Handoff is going to go straight ahead to Damon again. In traffic, he'll get inside the 35-yard line, pick up maybe 2 more yards. But, Gus, I don't know that Damon Wigan is really a run-through-thick-traffic kind of a back.
Yeah, he is more of a get-me-outside-the-tackle-box and give me some clean space to run. Now the Ravens are going to bring in Court Madsen. They're also going to bring in Harry O'Neill on this 3rd and 6, and you got to think right now, the Ravens at the 33-yard line are in 4-down territory. So, again, you don't have to pick it all up here.
I agree with that totally. They're going to flood the left side, and it's going to be a quarterback draw. There goes Kettle. He's going to have a first down inside the 25-yard line, and again with a feet first slide.
that was well designed. The defense absolutely was chasing to the outside, following all of those receivers, and the quarterback just about a one-step drop back and then a little delay draw.
Yeah, they motioned a little swing action out to the left side. So everybody thought that they were going to do a little swing pass to the left. And instead, Kendall just tucked the ball under on a designed run and was able to pick up the first down.
First and 10, Benedictine now at the Viking 26. Back in at the running back is Rayshon Mills. Penalty markers, there was movement.
Yeah, you're going to get that tight end on the left side, I think.
So Benedictine hurting themselves there, and that's something that has helped this drive downfield, is that they have not been making those kind of errors, because, you know, having to pick up an extra five, that's a drive changer.
And that was one of the big things we talked about last week in Oskaloosa, that they didn't make those kinds of mistakes.
10.5 to go, third quarter. Ravens first and 15 now. Here's the handoff left side, cutting inside, turning sideways, knifing forward. Gus, Rayshon picked up 10 yards, and about 7 or 8 of them was running sideways.
So now it'll bring up a second down for the Raven offense. And, again, Ravens put together a really good drive here to start this third quarter.
Second and 9 at the 25. I like the sense of urgency by the offense. I like that getting right back up there real quickly. Kettle is back to throw, kicks it over. Rayshon coming out of the backfield, looks to accelerate to the right side. And then when he tries to slow up to cut back in the middle, his feet again shoot out from beneath him. The defense closes on him. And Gus, the guy with his speed has just got to step on it and get everything you can as you edge outside.
And a guy with his size, I mean, lower those shoulder pads, run over somebody. A 3-yard gain on the play, it'll bring up now a third down for the Benedictine offense. And let's call it a 3rd and 7.
Again, you talk about his size, not a little guy at 5'11 and 210. I mean, a former fullback, he can run over some defenders. Third down. You mentioned a moment ago, Benedictine, I believe, clearly in 4-down territory. Here's the pass over the middle in traffic, nearly picked off again as he's looking for Reed Levi, but it goes incomplete. Bounce off the receiver and two defenders' hands.
Pass really behind Reed Levi, and now he's going to get up a little slowly, and I think he wants to come out of the game for this 4th down call.
4th down for Benedictine and 7. They're at the 23-yard line. There's no way they're going to waste this opportunity with a field goal effort.
Not after you miss the 26-yarder.
And one of two PATs. No, the kicking game is right now is on the shelf. 4th down, 7. Bam is already in front. Back to throw. Kettle rolling, being chased by the big guy. Stops, drops back, throws in the end zone. The leaping catch, Buteau. Touchdown, Ravens! Austin Buteau, what a job of cutting back in and getting inside his defender on a 23-yard touchdown reception defended by Felix King. But I would love the way Kettle got out of there, found his guy, and put it in the perfect spot.
Yeah, and what happened was Buteau kind of ran his cornerback deep and then was able to come back and make the reception in the front corner of the end zone. It looked a lot like where Fowler caught it, just on the opposite side. And with the touchdown reception, Ravens looking for the PAT. Surprised maybe he didn't chase the two here.
Tegan Tramble looking to get his team back to within 7. It is down. It is up. It is good. Taking a break. 9:05 to go, third quarter. It is Grandview 27, Benedictine 20.
It's back. The featured blizzard of the month at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill is the Pumpkin Pie Blizzard. Real pumpkin pie pieces, whipped topping, and nutmeg blended in soft serve. Pumpkin season is here. And surprise, a second blizzard of the month, the Pecan Pie Blizzard. Those great blizzards along with the new fall blizzard menu, and you can't go wrong at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill.
Mueller's Locker Room is your sports bar for all seasons. Open at 11 a.m. daily, practicing proper social distancing. They are ready to safely serve you. If you aren't ready for the in-house dining experience just yet, it's okay. Mueller's will happily continue with curbside service.
Give them a call at 913-367-2727 or see them at 120 South 2nd, in the dugout or on the deck. Let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room, your sports bar for all seasons.
Kick of the way by Cullen Bruner. It is short, and it is bouncing out of bounds at the 15-yard line. So that did not work particularly well for Benedictine. And Gusareva kicking game, goodness, just struggling. The penalty for the ball going out of bounds, so spotted up the field. And Granby is going to come up with some really, really good field position on this penalty. This rule and this marking of this penalty has been changed over the last few years.
Yeah, they're going to move this thing all the way up to the 35-yard line, and that's where Grandview will come out. And for the Vikings, the closest Ravens have been in a bit.
Yes, Benedictine back to within a touchdown at 27-20. Still just over 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. That is a long, long time in a football game. Here's Johnny Sullivan taking his first snap of the second half. Gives it to his running back, starts to the left side. Then as he cuts back into the middle, he is going to be hit and stood up and then shoved back. You got Isaac right in the middle of all that.
Yeah, you got Isaac Anderson in there also coming off the bottom. Dwayne Lacey and believe, is that Jalen? Yeah, Jalen James also in on the stop. So three guys that for the Raven defense you really like to see around the football. A gain of two on the play, it'll bring up a second and eight for Grandview.
Yeah, Benedictine's okay with giving up two on that carry. At the 37-yard line.
Two times four is eight.
Yeah, that math is very sound. Grammy's got everybody bunched in tight. The jet sweep again to the left side, and they will cut into the middle and come up just short of the first down by perhaps a yard as Dwayne Lacey makes the tackle for BC. But for Grandview, the difference between the way the Ravens have had luck with the jet sweep and the way Grandview is the sealing off of that edge and letting the guy get to the corner.
Yeah, and a lot of that is those big receivers, right? I mean, they are just so big. They do a nice job of being able to turn that corner and seal it off.
Kind of spotted down to the 43-yard line, leaving Grandview looking at a third and two. Sullivan is looking over to the far side, trying to get his coach's attention. I don't know if he's real happy with the call.
He's changing the play with Brandon Martin over there.
Okay. Now he's back to throw, looks right, throws right. It's going to be missed. That pass was just out of the reach of Nate Wilcoxon, the tight end, red shirt freshman out of Urbandale, Iowa. And he maybe should have caught that. It wasn't a great pass. Certainly, Johnny is a better thrower than that. Had he gotten a little closer, that was a first down.
He might have put a little too much juice on it, right? And for the Ravens, they're going to send Austin and Buteau back deep, but the rest of the defense is going to kind of stay in their base formation.
Sun beginning to peek out just a little bit. 71 degrees, high humidity here. Here's a boot away. It turns over, and Buteau will catch it and get buried immediately. Did not call for the fair catch, and then Buteau kind of pushes his way out from between four defenders who were downfield on the kick coverage unit for Grandview. Ravens are going to take it first and 10. See, now Austin did something that no kick punt return guy has done in the last 2 weeks, and that is stand in and field that kick.
Yeah, and there's where you kind of miss it, Denny Murphy, right? He'd usually be screaming at you, fair catch or get away. And now for Grandview, that is only their second punt of the game, and for Benedictine, looking to build on that touchdown that started the second half.
Ravens at their own 22. Back to throw. Quarterback Garrett Kettle passes short. It skips about 3 yards off the ground in front of Trey Adger and goes incomplete. And that time Garrett just reached back and threw that thing too hard.
Yeah, he put just a little too much on that pass. But, again, the Ravens are really struggling with that snap from center to quarterback. It's high and it's just throwing off the timing of especially that jet sweep motion. You're trying to sell that fake to the jet sweep, so you're trying to pause those linebackers for a bit. When that ball is high, he's passed, and there's really no fake, so you're not pausing those linebackers at all.
Harry O'Neill comes running onto the field as the Ravens were equipped with 10 players, and now Harry will shift over to the right side. Second down, 10 call. Play action once more. Kettle rolls right, throws right, goes downfield, and then it's going to go out of bounds, and the only guy with a hand on that thing was Joel Mewis over here on the sideline about 4 yards out of play. Drew Buffelli with the pressure on Garrett Kettle, and Benedictine with two pass efforts, neither of which that was very good, has suddenly left him with a third down and long.
You know, one of the things at Grandview, when you look at the stats at the end of the ball game, I think they're going to be happy with, is for the most part, they've kept Garrett Kettle from running the football. Garrett was the second. No, he was the leading rusher last week with his 76 yards. And so he is such a good runner. They've done a good job of keeping him from doing that.
Kettle is back, throws one to a running back coming out of the backfield who slips, gets his feet, 25, 30, keeps his balance, gets to the 35, and picks up a first down, a tremendous run. Austin Buteau, I don't know how he kept his balance. It was spectacular.
That was a tricky play right there for the Ravens. They set it up with the motion to just to I'm going to struggle with this name a little bit, just Sean Todd. They ran him on a swing pattern, faked the swing, ran an underneath screen to Buteau, and Buteau was able to find his way through a lot of traffic and pick up the first down and keep this drive alive. And now Coach Osborne really not happy with something in this formation. He's going to utilize the timeout.
He is barking at his players, and we're going to let him get it squared away. Taking a break at 6:54 to go. We're in the third quarter in Atchison, where it's Grandview 27, Benedictine 20.
Whether it's normal automotive maintenance like oil changes and wiper replacement, or more serious repairs like starters and alternators, Atchison Auto Parts is your local stop for everything you need to keep your vehicle running at peak performance. Locally owned and operated, you'll recognize the car guys behind the counter, and they'll get you the right parts. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, your independent Napa dealer at 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
K-A-I-R-F-M, Horton, Atchison.
Hi, this is Todd Gickstad from Exchange Bank. You know, a good banking relationship is built on trust. It's a valuable asset. We offer you quality financial service and common sense advice. We're here to help you reach your goals. When you need a banking partner you can trust, you can count on us. Exchange Bank and Trust, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Exchange Bank and Trust. Community-minded, that's my bank.
So Benedict, they're taking the timeout, will hand off into the right side of the line, and Rayshon will find the going tough. Maybe a yard or two, leaving the Ravens, Gus, with a, let's call it a third down eight. It is a long down.
Yeah, and for the Ravens on a third down and eight call, second and eight?
Second? Is it second? Okay.
They're kind of in between over there. I think there we go. The down box is now back at second. See, that's going to set you up with a little different as you're going to send trips to the left, one to the right.
Second down, eight call. Again, a little shovel pitch to the left side, and Rayshon will take it. Breaks through the first defender, but that had slowed the play up long enough that others had come in, and Dane Johnson will get credit for a tackle after a short couple-of-yard gain, third down, half a dozen for BC. That play took a long time to develop, and that little shovel pass, it's always a frightening play for me.
Now we're going to see Rayshon check out of the ballgame. Damon Wigan going to be back in the backfield.
Wide to the right side, and now BC will shift a third receiver to the right side of the field, and it's a straight back drop this time. Looking. All the time in the world. Now here comes Garrett. Three defenders around him as he runs into the line, and he goes down, loses yardage. And the coverage downfield just must have been incredible.
Yeah, because he had all the time in the world to throw. And right there, he did have Wigan, but must not have liked the matchup as Damon Wigan was working against a free safety, Cole Rollinger. And so now this is going to bring the Raven punt unit back out on the field, and it will be Matt Heinrich out there to punt for his third time today.
Matt will be at the 20. Return man is going to be back at his 25-yard line. Grandview still hanging on to a 7-point lead with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. The boot away, that's a dandy high kick that turns over. Will be taken at the 23. Foot race to the left side. There's an illegal block. No penalty goes down, crossing the 35 up to the 36-yard line. And as he was going to the far side, Gus, I thought that on kick coverage, Jordan Malcolm might have been blocked in the back.
And I was a little surprised it didn't get called, right? All the officials were sitting there staring at it, and you could see it set up.
Oh, yeah, it was coming.
The return team guy kind of sat there, and he looked, and he wasn't sure. And then as he started forward, I'm like, he's going to hit him, and he's going to get a penalty. But no penalty, and for Greenview, they're going to start this possession at their own 37-yard line. This will be their ninth possession of the game. You got to remember their last possession ended in a punt.
After Benedictine's first touch of the ball in the second half, where they walked downfield and put points on the board, since then the game has gotten a little lackluster. Here's a home run pass thrown downfield and caught down to the Raven 20-yard line. And again, Benedictine's secondary is beaten deep, and that was a gain of 43.
Yeah, and I'm kind of surprised that Gerald Sama was able to get behind the Ravens secondary over there. And in coverage, Davion Drayton, the 5'10" junior out of St. Louis, Missouri, by way of Hazelwood East High School.
Davion having a word with some of his teammates out of the field. They're having a bit of a disagreement, I think, as to whose coverage
was done. Not sure if maybe you thought there was like some over-the-top coverage.
Well, whatever rate, it was a great play for Grandview. Moved the ball all the way down to the Benedictine 22-yard line. Again, a 40-plus yard gain for the Vikings, who lead by 7. Handoff running back left side, powers over a couple of defenders, picks up 4. Kevin Spangler will get the Ravens stop. It is second down, and we're at 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. For Benedictine, they've got to make a stop here, and then they've got to get that early second half enthusiasm back. Second and 6. Inside the Raven 20-yard line. They'll come very wide to the near side. That's going to be Tony Turner. They'll slot to the near side. Now, again, Sullivan is going to check off and change it at the line of scrimmage. Real long count. Looking right. Throwing right. Got his man who he wants in the end zone and is going to overthrow Brandon Martin, and it'll go incomplete. Benedictine saw what was going on, and Zach Gill came and brought some over-the-top coverage.
Yeah, Zach Gill and Tyler Tierney over there, and that was just going to be a tough play for Johnny Sullivan to thread it in to the big wide receiver, Brandon Martin. With the incomplete, it's going to bring up now a 3rd and 7 for Grandview. They are going to take Martin out of the ball game, and in will come number 7, Drake Miller, a junior.
When Grandview goes to those audibles, you about know it's going to be a play to Martin, or it has been so far today at any rate. 3rd down 7 at the Raven 18-yard line. Back to throw again, looking right, lobbing right. He's got his man at the goal line and is picked off. Nope, it's going to be incomplete, knocked to the ground. And the defense by Josh Morris.
That was a great play by Josh Morris. If you watched him on the pre-snap read, whatever it was that Johnny changed at the line of scrimmage, he knew it. He turned around, pointed at strong safety A.J. Calcara, and is what happened was he didn't stay up on the cornerback. He jammed hard on Turner and then ran to the back corner of the end zone because he knew where that route ended up. And so a great job by the Raven defense and another field goal opportunity for Nathan Hamilton.
Hamilton will send this one up, and it is no good, wide to the right side. Nate Hamilton, who has been absolutely phenomenal this year, fails, and about 37, 38-yard field goal is wide to the right side, and I guess that is perfect for Benedictine, who will get the ball with good field position and still be within one score.
Yeah, that was a good stop right there. Defensive coordinator Caleb Cook has got to be really excited with how his defense played on that possession because, again, you look at the clock, this game's starting to trickle down late into the third quarter here.
Yeah, no question about it. Just over 3 minutes to play in the third. Ravens in a situation that they are in seldom here at home, trail by a touchdown. Garrett Kittle, the Benedictine quarterback. With the wraparound handoff, Rayshon goes left side, pushes, twists to the 25, 7, 8, maybe close to the 29-yard line. A nice run by the 5'11 senior from Gilroy, California. Rayshon Mills last season was an all-conference first-team running back, tackled by Cole Rollinger on that play. They're going to give him 8 on the carry. The Ravens have gone to that well on that play a handful of times today. Now they're going to put Harry Balke over to the right side.
Harry, a big 6'4", 220 freshman out of San Diego.
Seen a lot of different looks from the tight end spot for Benedictine today. Hand off to the right side. That's going to be Weigand, who will pick up a first down. Damon comes in to spell Rayshon after that long run, and he'll get about a half a dozen yards of his own. 1st and 10, Benedictine now at their own 33-yard line. 2.5 to go in the third quarter.
Ravens haven't gotten overly creative or reached too deep into that playbook here, especially in the second half. But you know what they have done? Been able to put some drives together and just eat up smaller chunks of yardage. And right now, putting a lot of pressure on that Grandview defense.
Ravens first and 10 at their 32-yard line, down by a touchdown. Wraparound handoff first to the right, then he stops, pivots back to the other side, and Damon Wiegand, because I don't know if that was that really designed to do that, or is that a made-up play?
Nope, direct little counter-action right there. You took the left guard, pulled him out, and he was your lead blocker around the right side. Nice little run right there by Damon Wiegand, and the tackle for Grandview was Danielson.
Gain of 3. BC's up now to its own 35-yard line. Second down, 7. Minute 40 and rolling along here in the late going of the third quarter. Ravens down a touchdown. Motion will go to the left side. They'll flood the wide side of the field. Back to throw, quarterback Garrett Kittle. And again, he's had ample time. Pass over the middle. Caught at the 50-yard line. It was a little bit low, but it was well taken by the senior from El Paso. That's Pete Cadena.
Yeah, nice job by Pete Cadena working right across the middle of the field. Me and Pete have a lot in common, and we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
23, Drake Prey now into the ballgame for the Ravens in the backfield. And I kind of wonder if Drake Prey's in there because watching Rashawn Mills come off the field the last couple plays, he's kind of holding that left hand a little bit. I'm not sure if he got stepped on or something.
Drake, a big guy at the running back spot. You don't see six-foot running backs a lot. He's a sophomore out of Tonganoxie, Old Chieftain. Here's a quarterback back to throw again. Steps up. Now he's running out of the pocket, running out of time, and he's going to throw it away. That play was well done defensively in the secondary, and I liked how Kettle checked down, and when there were no options, he didn't do anything silly.
Yeah, and the one thing that Garrett Kittle has done really well today is he's extending plays. He's making the play last as long as it possibly can, and once it's finally broke down, he's going to go ahead and throw it away.
Ravens will spread the field wide left now.
Only one interception today for Kittle.
Second and 10, Benedictine just across midfield. A pitch play again left side, cutting in the middle of the 45 to the 40. It's a first down, Benedictine, and that's Drake Prey. He showed good speed, and that's what I liked about him. He didn't go down with that first contact. He showed good balance and kept moving forward.
Yeah, Drake Prey is a guy who's really strong up top. Doesn't have the biggest legs in the world, but he is just a powerful runner. He's able to push through. And with that 6 foot, I'm going to say he's closer to 6'1 or 6'2. He leans forward when he runs. He's going to fall forward and pick up that additional yardage.
Last play in the third quarter here on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison. Raven football. We're winding down the third quarter. Here's a first down play at the 39. Again, it's going to go to Drake. He'll go to the right side, keeps his feet, but we'll end up with only a couple of yards as the third quarter draws to a close. We'll be back in Atchison, Kansas, going to the fourth quarter. It is Grandview 27, Benedictine 20.
Hunley Liquor is the place to go for your favorite beverages. Stop by and check out their beer selection. They are carrying lots of new beers, and they always have cold ones ready to go. Also in stock is an array of seltzers, wines, and spirits, something for everyone. Stop by and check it out. You may find a new favorite. Hunley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
Skyway Vapes has a new home. See them at 711 Commercial Street for your vaping products. They carry everything you need to get started on your journey to a healthier alternative to smoking, carrying products ranging from mini pod systems all the way up to intermediate mods. Check them out at their new location, 711 Commercial in Atchison. Still with those great hours, open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 7 on Sunday. It's Skyway Vapes in Atchison.
Oh, really? They love it. We go to the fourth quarter here in Atchison, Kansas. Benedictine in front of a fantastic crowd for their home opener in 2021. They trail by 7, but they've got the football, and Gus, they've got a little momentum right now.
You know what else this offense has done, and we talked about it. They're not really hitting the home runs right now, but they are picking up the yardage and moving the sticks. They have only held, or they have now held Grandview to only 2 possessions in the second half.
three receivers to the left, tight ends on the right. Quarterback will keep it himself, cut to the middle, to the 35, to the 30, and go down to the 25-yard line. That was a nice 12-yard run by Garrett Kettle, tackled by Felix King.
Kettle kind of getting up and messing with his knee pads. I'm not sure if he's, like, cramping up a little bit right there.
He's holding on to one of his teammates. He's trying to stretch those calf muscles.
The cornerback, Felix King, over there on the stop for Grandview, but not before Kettle able to pick up a first down.
If you remember about this time of the game last week when Garrett Kettle decided he was going to be lead blocker down around the goal line, and he got up kind of holding his shoulder but was ultimately okay. Well, I hope that's the same situation for his leg here. Kettle is back to throw. First down. Throws short, gets it to Buteau, and he's going to be bumped out of bounds, zero gain.
Yeah, nothing doing there for Austin Buteau. Prince Brown, a freshman out of Muscatine, Iowa, on the stop right there for Grandview.
Muscatine. We've been close to there. I know some guys who've been in Muscatine.
Wait, we stopped there to pick up some glasses or something, right?
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, that pass is going to ultimately be
a loss of one.
Yeah.
So a loss on the play. It'll bring up a second and 11, 1 minute into the fourth quarter. Ravens with the football, trailing by seven.
Trey Atcher's got single coverage on the far side. He's the wideout on the left. Snap is very high. Good job by Kettle to go up and get it, but then he's immediately tackled by an on-rushing defensive end, Calvin Bright.
That time they were trying to get it to Jashawn Todd for the end around, and now Kettle's going to have to come out of the ball game. Is Patrick Hodapp going out there? He celebrated a birthday earlier this week.
Yes.
So he's going to go out, and for the Ravens, they're quickly looking down the sideline trying to figure out who's coming in.
Well, one would expect it would be Luke Laskowski, and now he quickly picks up a football and is having a quick catch with Harry Balke over here on the right sideline, just kind of getting warmed up a little bit. We have not seen a lot of players cramping up, and I guess those cramps can kind of be brought on a little bit extra by, you know, the contact, getting a couple of hits. You know, that muscle takes that impact, and it reacts anyway. And so if you're losing some hydration, it makes it even worse. Now he's going to come up off the field and walk off under his own power. But that said, here comes Luke Laskowski. We're going to see the sophomore out of Baldwin City, Kansas, check into the game. Last week, he played just a little bit and went 0-for-3, throwing the ball with one interception.
Games going on around the conference today. Central Methodist leading Peru State 6-0. You've got Baker 47-21 leading Penn Valley over Clark right now 23-14. Cora Stockton leading Mid-America 27-13.
Four receivers for Benedictine, and now five as a running back will break out of the backfield. Luke Laskowski's back to throw. Fires one left side tip that should have been picked. That pass looking for a Buteau was slapped into the air by the outside linebacker Kyle Kluge, and it's a wonder that either him or his teammate behind him did not pick it off. He's already got one today.
Yeah, Kluge had that early interception, and now for the Ravens, it's going to be fourth down, and
Oh, my. Well, this is kind of interesting. Tegan Trammell, who struggled a little bit today, looking at a 49-yard field goal. Now, remember last week, the Grandview kicker was conference player of the week because of a 49-yard field goal, a school record. This one is down and blocked at the line of scrimmage.
Uh-oh.
Not even close. Somebody's going to pick this up and run with it. 45-40. He's going to score. Can they catch him from behind at the 30, at the 20? Nope. Touchdown, Grandview. Benedictine making a decision to go for a long, long field goal on fourth down. It backfires on them, and Grandview pushes its lead now to 13.
Picking up the football and running it in was Felix King, and the problem with running... Sorry, we're making the notes there. The problem with running the field goal unit out on the field right there is Kettle, who's cramping up, is your holder. If it's blocked, you're looking for Kettle to get over there and make the tackle. He's just physically right now not able to do that. And so we're going to see Grandview, after the score, look for the PAT and turn this into a two-touchdown game with only 13 minutes left.
Waiting for the extra point here, which is airborne and good, and we're going to take a timeout. Lightning by Grandview as Benedictine has a field goal blocked and returned for a score. 13:07 to go in the game. Grandview 34, Benedictine 20.
When you want to power up, go pro with Subway. With the new protein bowls, you'll get a footlong's worth of protein. Pick your favorite footlong piled high atop fresh lettuce, tomato, cucumber, and more veggies. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Order in-store, online, or on the app. At Subway, under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Benjamin Franklin once wrote about investing. An investment in knowledge pays the best interest. At Caudill Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to navigate the world of investments. Let us answer your most pressing questions about the markets, whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with. Give us a call to learn more at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Well, the Raven offense is at least going to get its hands right back on the football as they kick away, taking it to two. That's the shortest kick yet. All the way across the field, and a penalty marker down, illegal block by Benedictine. And Trey Adger's nice return is going to be all for absolutely nothing as the block down around the five-yard line, and everybody in the place saw it. The crowd moaned, officials threw flags from every direction, and we'll see where they finally spot this thing down. 13 minutes to play in the game. 34-20.
So the penalty marker was thrown at 12 yard line, so we're going to be somewhere back to six?
Inside, nearing the 5 yard line is where they'll end up spotting this thing down. I forgot I'm supposed to hang on to those, so I'm gonna do just that.
And so for the Ravens, they are huddled up around head coach Joel Osborne, and he is now hollering for a couple players to get in the huddle. He wants Jacob Gathright. He also wants Jashawn Todd, the two freshmen out there. And Garrett Kettle is going to be the quarterback this possession. You're going to have Drake Prey out there. So you've got two freshmen and a sophomore making up some of your position players.
Well, see if the Ravens are able to come from behind. They got a long way to go, and they do have at least quite a bit of time to make it happen. Kettle is back to throw, midpoint of the end zone, just throwing it downfield, hard as he can, and the official gets in the way of the receiver. They all go to the ground, and the Ravens receiver finally comes to his feet. The official downfield goes stop that from being a 50-yard reception. That was a beautifully thrown ball and a well-run route by Gathright.
Yeah, Gathright had that thing, and the official blew it up. Wow.
Ouch. I don't know if I've ever seen an official get in front of the guy sprinting downfield and then initiate contact, and they all went to the ground. And I don't mean just stumbled and tumbled to the ground. I mean they went down hard, everyone. Second down, 10, Benedictine. My. Little wraparound handoff, left side, getting to the 5 and getting up to the 10. Little scrum there, gain of about 5 yards for Drake Prey. Ravens are going to look at a third down and 5 or 6. So very short yardage to be gained on that down.
Ravens are going to bring Harry O'Neill back into the ballgame. Harry, a big-bodied wide receiver out there, 6'4", 215 pounds. And they're going to start him out on the left and now walk him over here to the right side. And they're going to go kind of a bunch formation with four guys in the pattern.
Third down, 5 Ravens at their own 11-yard line. And it's going to be third and 10 because Benedictine jumps offside.
See, these are some of those penalties we talked about that the Ravens weren't having last week.
Cannot afford to make those mistakes in any game, particularly against a good opponent, and even more against an opponent against whom you are trailing in the fourth quarter. Ravens are down here 34-20 with 12:14 to go. Benedictine hasn't put a point on the board in a really long time. Here's the 3rd and 10 call. Kettle is back. It's going to be, I thought it was going to be picked off. He had thrown short. The receiver had run a 9 down the field, and there was absolutely miscommunication between the quarterback and the receiver.
Lucky he didn't get called for grounding right
there. Oh, yeah.
I mean, because Fisher went ahead and made the assessment that the receiver just ran the wrong route, but Kettle, in the end zone right there, just couldn't find anything, and now kicking out of the back of his own end zone is going to be punter Matt Heinrich. Lots of room to work, but you've got a backup long snapper in Bierman.
Return man standing at the 50-yard line, and this kick is away. That is another great, great kick. It turns over. It's going to be fielded at the 41. First defender misses, back to the 45, 50, down to the 45, and stopped there. So turns into a really nice return of a spectacular punt by Matt Heinrich. And for our Grandview, doesn't get much better, does it? You're up by two scores. You're in the fourth quarter, and you got the ball, and begin your possession in the opponent's half of the field.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're Grandview, this is the time to lean on some of those backs, Arthur Braden and Jensen Gates right now.
You're going to expect Grandview to not try to be too spectacular, take some time, get it downfield.
For Grandview, this will be their 10th possession of the ball game.
They shift everyone to the right side of the field. Quarterback will hand off, a little misdirection to the fullback, gets to the 45-40, penalty markers down as he's inside the 35 into the 30, but got a hold out there. One of those wide receivers blocking. Fisher's going to talk it over, but again, that was a right out in the wide open spaces kind of holding call. And guys, I know it's only week two, but the crew today has been painfully slow.
Yeah. And the other problem they're trying to figure out is, okay, it was 9 yards down the field. So it'll really just back you up and be first and 11. So it's only going to come out to hurt you for about a yard.
So for Grandview, still in Raven territory, now at the Benedictine 46. They lead in the game by a pair of touchdowns, and they have a first and 11. Johnny Sullivan has had a big day today. I can't tell you exact numbers, but I can tell you it's been a good one. He'll hand off to his running back, breaks a tackle, but gets hit by the second wave of defenders and will pick up 2 yards when it's all said and done. Going to pick up a second down nine with 11 and a half minutes to go. But, yeah, I don't know where we're at with any of this or how far along we are. Looks maybe halfway kind of in the neighborhood.
About 4 minutes or so. But I feel like Johnny Sullivan, they've got him for 12 of 21 today, 2 touchdowns and 200 yards. It just feels like he's having a bigger day than that.
Sullivan is up under center again with his running back way, way behind him, straight back. Receivers to the right side, tight ends to the left, handoff running back. He'll go left, nothing. That was well defended, and there was only one defender underneath there, and there's pushing and shoving on the pile, and another penalty marker sails, and I'm not sure this isn't against Benedictine also.
Yeah, Jalen James is going to get the tackle, but then there were some extracurriculars away from the football, and right now Coach Osborne's not very happy because the play clock had got to zero before Grandview had snapped the ball. He was over here on the near sideline just bouncing up and down.
They're going to try to establish what the greater benefit is in this penalty.
Oh, the Ravens are saying that they're declining whatever this is. So basically, the law said since they were a dead ball, it really doesn't matter, and it'll bring up second and nine.
You know, I'm a little surprised, if nothing else, to see the number of personal fouls and penalties like that we see. Quite a few. You're not?
No, I mean, anytime you get two really good teams like this, like that like to talk a little bit to each other, these officials are going to have to be ready for that kind of action. And so, since it was a dead ball, it'll bring up now third and 8 for the Grandview offense. A big play right here for Benedictine's defense.
At the Raven 43-yard line, down to 10:40 to go in today's game. Sullivan setting up a screen, gets it away. It'll be taken, tight end, goes to the left side, gets inside the 40, and it's the 39-yard line. He's going to be about 3 yards short. Once again, you got Tyler Tierney. Tyler is playing maybe as well as I've ever seen
play. Yeah, that time he did a great job of fighting through a couple would-be blockers, and he was able to make the hit, and there was no extra yardage gained right there by the receiver. It will bring up now a fourth down for Grandview, and I'm not really sure what they're doing. They're going to bring in Krushwitz to punt.
Shannon James is over here visiting with a line judge on the near side, and he's having a real heart-to-heart with him. He's like, man, you got to start dropping the laundry a little bit here, huh?
Don't
hey, Don!
Got bigger than life right there. So it'll bring up a fourth down, and Grandview in punt formation.
He'll get a toe to it off the side of his foot, but it's going to work for him. It's going to be high and short and bounce inside the 15, out of bounds at the 13. It'll be first and 10 Ravens. They got a long way to go, man.
So a punt right there for Grandview will be their second of the second half and their third punt of the ball game. For Benedictine, they're going to be out there with the offense, and Garrett Kettle is going to be the last guy into the huddle. For Benedictine, they're looking to try to get Trey Adger going on offense. He really hasn't done a whole lot today, only one reception coming off that big game last week at William Penn where he had six receptions for a 120 and two touchdowns. They're going to run three receivers to the right, one to the left. They're going to have the running back offset to the right side, and that's going to be Rayshon Mills. 34 defense right now for Grandview. Quarterback takes the snap. Now he's going to turn, pitch it late, and there is no room for Rayshon Mills, the tackle right there for Grandview by Drew Boffelli. Boffelli, we've talked about him multiple times, out of Eldridge, Iowa, a second-team all-conference player, the number four tackler on this team last season, was able to get into the backfield and tackle the running back Rayshon for a loss of three. Second and 13 now for the Raven offense.
I guess on a second and 13, I know one guy who I'd like to see carrying a football if he's had a uniform with him.
Yeah,
Horton at number 9.
Yeah, you like that short side of the field and then cut back across everybody's face,
oh,
right?
Oh, my gosh. Second down call here. Ravens will hand off in the backfield. There's just nowhere to go as running back him, Dan Damon Wygand, is going to get really nothing out of the play, and it will bring up a long down situation to Kyle Kluge. Another tackle. Kyle's had a really nice day for Grandview.
Yeah, Kyle's had a great day. He's had a handful of tackles. He's got an interception. He's got a pass breakup. And I was a little surprised on that last play where Benedictine was looking at a second and long that they ran the ball. I figured they would try to throw it and set themselves up for a little better position. Instead, losing yardage on second down, they'll now bring up third and 15.
You're in an apparent passing situation here on this third and really long from inside your own 10-yard line, and quarterback is back. He's in trouble in the end zone, lofts it out of bounds. And how many times today has Garrett Kittle had to just throw one away? A bunch, it feels like.
Yeah, that was a really bad read, though, by Kittle, and Coach Osborne's not going to be happy with that, right? He dropped back to pass. The outside blitz was coming by the outside linebacker. The tackle was there ready for it. Instead, Kittle climbs the pocket too high, and now that tackle can't get to him, right? Step up, lead that defender right into your tackle, and you're going to have a lot of time to throw the football.
Ravens are going to get a fourth down from inside their own 10. They're going to have to kick it away, and again, Granby's going to have this thing around midfield. Here's the boot. Another spectacular kick. Wow! Feel it at the 33-yard line. Straight up the middle, 45, cross at the 50 into the Raven 49-yard line, but another fabulous kick by Matt Heinrich. That could be a conference player of the week when he's booted the ball today.
Yeah, he's had some really nice punts, but they really haven't netted a whole lot.
8:44 to go in the game, 34-20. Grandview in front.
He's out kicking the coverage.
Oh, well, yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
And then that's the problem, and you're setting up 20-yard returns.
Right. That you're getting a good return, but I mean, you can't hold the ball forever to let the coverage get downfield. So, I don't know if you
got to start working on more maybe angled punts.
First and 10. Sun coming out of the field here in Atchison. First and 10, Grandview. They'll jet sweep again. They've run this with great success. They're going to be successful again inside the 40, inside the 35, and down to the 33-yard line. A marker down to the line of scrimmage. And a Raven getting up, hobbling again. It's going to be Gill. He walks off the field. He's been banged around all day. You expect another holding call against Granby. They've had a bunch of those today. Tight end reaching out and detaining one of the defenders. So they're going to do this all over again. Gus, we talked about this early. You referred to the pregame show where Coach Osborne said we'd like to be plus two on the takeaway turnover thing. And they're down one. They have not been able to turn Grandview over today.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. That Grandview is just a really good team, right? They are that because they also hold on to the football. They take care of it. They're not very careless. And Johnny Sullivan is a guy who you're just going to struggle to see throw any interceptions.
Here's your first and 20. They're going to go just straight ahead running, and it works. 45-50, 45-40. Just a rocket run straight ahead for Grandview, and carrying the ball is going to be Allie Scott. Is that right?
Yep, Allie Scott, 6 foot 217, freshman out of sophomore, out of Powder Springs, Georgia, by way of Judson University. So on a first and 20, they pick up 18. It'll bring up a second and two. Nah, they're going to give 19, so we'll call it second and one.
That was just a pretty good little play, and it has worked for Grandview time and time and time again today. Second down, one. Good place to throw one deep, but he doesn't. It's just going to be another straight-ahead run, and Grandview's now eager to move the clock and just run the ball straight down the Raven defense.
Yep, that time, again, Allie Scott with the run for Grandview. And right now, you got to think that they're just going to try to shorten this game up two touchdowns, and be happy to get on the bus and get back to Des Moines.
Benedict, they need to break up the turnover chain sometime here today. And the sooner the better. They trail by 14 with 7.5 to go this afternoon. First and 10, Grandview at the Raven 35. Hand off again, the jet sweep. This time to the right side, and as he gets to the edge, the cut in into the middle is going to be figured out and defended by Jalen James, who will get credit on the tackle. But, again, positive yardage, and Grandview guys keeping it on the ground, keeping it in the middle of the field. Those are all smart things when you've got a lead against a good team.
Yeah, you're playing a good team. You're on the road, so you want to shorten this game up as much as possible. That tackle right there by Jalen James, coming into the ball game, he had 330 tackles. He needed five to move into number five all time, just right behind John Cork.
Class of 1974. Here's a handoff.
74-77.
Yep, handoff straight ahead. First down and more inside the 25-yard line, down close to the 20. Connor Walker with the Raven stop. And now we've got offensive linemen coming up and talking to the Benedictine defenders a little bit. They're like, hey, you can't stop me.
Now they're going to stop play for just a moment, and Benedictine has a player that's a little slow to get up.
Next week, here on Kent Radio, we're going to be back with the Phoenix, right? Because we will be in Topeka, Kansas.
It's going to be at Homer Sports Complex. The Atchison Phoenix will be at Highland Park Scotts.
Yeah.
So, game from Topeka next Friday evening, and next Saturday evening, it's like a short roadie.
Yep. Night game at the Oak Bowl. Don't know if I've ever been to, in all my games there, I don't know if I've been to a night game at the Oak Bowl, but we'll be with the Ravens and the Bobcats.
I have a feeling the lights are pretty good.
I bet everything is pretty good.
It's
that
like
new field
the
is pretty
rolling
good.
Chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
She lights up when she realizes that those are the chairs that roll.
First and 10, Grandview, the 21-yard line. Deep in Raven territory, 6 minutes to play, and Grandview being smart, they're going to allow another 20 seconds to run off this clock before they move that football in play. Trey Adger running up and down on the near sideline, but I don't know if the Ravens are going to have enough time to make a two-score comeback here. Here's a run straight into the middle, and that was a nice tackle by A.J. Calcara.
A.J. Calcara, along with Tyler Tierney, the free safety, strong safety, making tackles in the backfield. Calcara, a sophomore out of Kansas City by way of St. Pius X High School. Tyler Tierney, a Lee Summit product.
They're going to actually mark that thing for the loss of a couple of yards back up to the 23-yard line. We're down inside 5.5 minutes to go now. This is the time of the game when every time you take a peek at the clock, another minute or two seems to have gotten away. Wide to the right side, they will go. Got Brandon Martin back in the game. They wouldn't mind tossing him another one. Quarterback is rolling right, looking right. He's got Martin in the end zone, but quarterback's going to keep it himself. The ball pops loose. It's on the ground, but I think Grandview had a lineman right there to fall on it.
Yeah, they had a big offensive lineman right there, but Johnny Sullivan was looking downfield for Martin, and as he took off with the football, he didn't realize he had a Raven defender kind of stalking right behind him. Able to knock that football away, it looked like Brian Berea. It'll bring up a third down now for the Grandview offense, but we're now under 5 minutes to play.
And Brandon Martin had worked himself into a spot of being pretty open down there around the goal line. Third and eight. Grandview. They're certainly within field goal range, and again, now the officials have stopped the game. They're having a little powwow back here at the 40. What's this?
The 450. They're going to toss another 13 on the game clock, but they're also going to reset the play clock up to 40.
Well, that will just, I don't know if that will have a great impact on how things go here. Third down and eight, 34-20. And again, if Benedictine's last score was, you know, back in the middle of the third quarter, they've only scored one time in the second half. Matter of fact, they did not score at all even in the second quarter. Now they're going to roll that clock.
Yeah.
And here he goes.
Had touchdowns on their first two drives and then their first one in the second half, and then that's been about it. Grandview, though, hasn't scored much other than that blocked field goal.
Here they come. Third down and eight inside the Raven 20-yard line. Johnny Sullivan. Okay, guys, I think you're right. I think that those numbers that we're seeing here on the screen don't give him enough credit. Here's a pass into the corner. Did he catch it? Inbounds. Touchdown, Grandview. It's Brandon Martin.
No. Tony.
No? Is that Tony? Tony, Anthony Turner is going to get credit for that one. It will be the 6'4" senior. And again, that's the 6'4" receiver against the 5'10" cornerback. And you'll take that all day long. And Grandview has pushed its lead now to an insurmountable 40-20 lead.
Yeah, that time. Anthony Turner did a great job of creating a little separation and ball on the sideline. I mean, you're just not going to fight through him for that reception.
VAT is going to be up and good. We're taking a timeout. Down to 4:12 left in the game. Grandview 41, Benedictine 20.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes two complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and five clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care. Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
Grandview getting set to kick it away. Nathan Hamilton. We're paired up, and it's what you get is what you get. Kick it away to the 7. Ravens up the middle. It's Buteau to the 20. Slows down and kind of works his way up to the 25-yard line. Here comes the Benedictine offense. 4 minutes to go in the game, trailing by 3 touchdowns.
So for the Ravens, we talked about it a little bit momentarily, but touchdowns on the first two possessions, then they threw an interception, had a punt, and a missed field goal. Then to start the second half, your seventh possession was a touchdown, then a punt, a blocked field goal that turned into a touchdown, and then two more punts. So second half has not been kind.
Here comes the Raven offense, and I guess we're going to see Garrett Kettle back out there to run it, and playing a game like this, you know, sometimes I think it's just a chance for me to evaluate a new guy. I don't want to get my starter hurt. In the meantime, my starter could probably use a little work, so I want to see him out there. Not Kettle running for his life. Running for his life is thrown to the ground after he throws the pass. There is no penalty marker down. It'll be incomplete. Second and 10 for Benedictine. See, there's the kind of play a guy can get kind of banged up, although that can happen on any play. I mean, it's not just that one.
You'd like to see Kettle maybe make that decision a little quicker, right? I mean, when you realize the guys aren't open, your offensive line has done a really nice job.
Fantastic job. Second down, 10 BC. Bouton to the left side. Gets all the way out to the hash mark, stops there. Back to throw Kettle. Again, he's being flushed out. Turns back to his left, stops, throws against the grain, and that thing was nowhere near anyone.
Yeah, he threw it right in between, like, four receivers. So the incomplete pass will stop the clock with 3:48 left here in the fourth quarter of play. It'll bring up a third and 10 for the Raven offense. And right now, the Raven wide receivers have to do a little better job of getting separation and, you know, beating the corners off the ball.
Run a little better routes, run a little sharper routes, and
the Ravens really haven't looked the way of Trey Adger.
No, not much. I think he's had a catch or two possibly today. Again,
feel like only one at this point.
Here's another long pitch play. They'll go to the outside and get real close to the first down. Matter of fact, they may just give Damon that first and 10. We'll see how they spot this thing up. Is it at the 34 or the 35? Is they're going to say it's enough for the first down, or they're going to advance it? But again, that pitch play, BC has run that a ton today. It's not really gotten them a lot. A little bit, not a lot of it. Back to throw again. The pass over the middle will be taken at the 40-yard line, and then running the wrong way, Bouton is going to be wrapped up and dropped.
Yeah, right now, Bouton trying to run out of bounds, and instead, he probably could have pushed forward, picked up the first down. But clock continues to roll with 3:15 left in the contest. Ravens trailing down by three touchdowns.
Second down, Benedictine at its home 38-yard line. 3 minutes to go, third down, and a half dozen. Another straight-ahead run. Penalty markers down. Nice run by Weigand, which would have gotten a first down, will all go away. We've seen quite a few holding calls by both teams as this game has worn on, it feels like. Like the official just reenacted that play out there on the field. That was kind of like charades, you know, when you're showing them. So the penalty is going to push it back, and it'll go inside the 30, and in fact inside the 25, back to the 24-yard line. Less than 3 minutes left here this afternoon. Raven fans continue to hold on here in the stadium in great numbers, so you got to give them credit for that. Now, do we have a player for Grandview that's on the ground, and he's going to have a trainer come out. Look at that tightened up muscle.
Here we go. One of your cornerbacks over there.
Doing a little late game mathematics. 41-20.
That ain't bad.
Yeah, that's within a point. Now getting on his feet and coming off the field under his own power, Felix King, the junior from Chicago.
Felix King was the guy who was able to scoop up that blocked field goal and take it back 61 yards. Right at the start of this fourth quarter.
Is that the turning?
Yeah.
The turn?
Yeah. I mean, here's the problem is, at the 9:05 mark of the third quarter, back to within a score, and just couldn't do anything the rest of the third quarter, and then the blocked field goal made it a two-score game right at the start of the fourth.
Here's another two-handed underhand pitch. It will go left side, and Drake Prey. He'll get about 10 yards out of that.
Zach Bierman out there, a wide receiver out of Tomball, Texas, doing a nice job of setting that corner for Drake Prey. That'll bring up now a third down for the Benedictine offense, and let's call it third and six.
Back to throws Garrett. Steps right, goes right, has a receiver out there alone and open and tackled a yard short of the first down, Joe Withrow. Again, another one of those small Raven receivers, Joe is standing at a 5'9".
Joe Withrow with his first reception of the season.
Fourth down, one. Benedictine will keep its offense out. They'll hand it off to the running back, and he's going to be dropped with a loss of a yard. It'll go back to Grandview as Drake Prey could not get back to the line of scrimmage, turning it over on downs with 2 minutes to go. So for Grandview, number five of the nation, Gus, they're number five of the nation, aren't they? I mean, is that a fair assessment to your best of your recollection or reckoning?
Yeah, I mean, they played really well today. They took care of the football. They did the little things that really good teams do. And so for Grandview, I think they're going to be a tough team. Yeah, I mean, I think Grandview is probably it when it comes to the conference. And again, I don't think they'll have any issues with any team when they come to North Division play.
No. Hey, Grandview, when you analyze how this game has gone, they were not flashy.
Nope.
Didn't, you know, even though they've got some great players and some tremendous receivers, they did not, you know, score on the 80-yard passes and, you know, things like that.
Did the small things well.
Yes. Did not turn the ball over once today. A run into the middle of the line is good for about five, and we're down to a minute 45 left.
Good for the Ravens today. They had the one interception on their third possession, which you can look back at and say, it's tough. It did lead to a short field for Grandview in the touchdown. But the one play that you're going to go back to is possession nine, where you had that blocked field goal that then turned into a 61-yard touchdown run.
It is a second down call for Grandview outside the Benedictine 35-yard line. They lead by three TDs. There's a play by the running back. Goes into the middle for a yard or so, but it stays in the middle of the field. It keeps the clock running. Turning point in the game, Gus, there are going to be a lot of things. Again, the field goal that was blocked and returned, the official who got in the way of the downfield pass. There were a number of instances that you could point at and say, it could have been here, it could have been here, but
the personal foul, late hit, or unnecessary roughness, where you went from looking like third down at the 30 to first down at the 15. You know, I mean, I think that was a big play at the time. And for Grandview, looking at 60 seconds away from going to 2-0 in the Ravens, looking to fall to 1-1 and have to turn their attention to a night game at Peru. And we've been... had Benedictine in Peru as a night game, just never at the Oak Bowl, I don't think.
Here's a handoff into the middle of the line for no gain, and they must snap one more time as they're about 4 seconds between the play and game clocks here this afternoon. Everybody takes their time and unwinds and climbs off the bottom. Probably Grandview, I just were able to get a snap to be done. Grandview moving to 2-0. Peru next Saturday. Should be a lovely evening, another day much like this, 73 degrees anticipated next week for kickoff. Here comes the final snap of the game, and that will do it. Final score here this afternoon is Grandview 41, Benedictine 20. We'll be back to summarize it right after this.
Stay tuned for the Benedictine Raven post-game wrap right after this.
Snap Fitness, your affordable neighborhood club, is open. And now is the time to schedule your tan. With three tanning beds and packages to fit your budget, it's the place to go. And new at Snap Fitness, Good Sense Meals. Need something fast and delicious for lunch or dinner? Stop in and check out all the options. No membership required to take advantage of tanning and meals. Call Snap Fitness at 913-367-1511 for more information on tanning, 24-hour gym memberships, or their new Good Sense Meals.
Lewis Chevrolet Buick is your trusted Buick Chevrolet dealership in Atchison and the reason why their loyal customers keep coming back. From the time you enter the showroom or the service center, you can expect to be treated like family each and every visit. We offer an extensive inventory, as well as our competitive lease specials, finance options, and expert auto service. Lewis Chevrolet Buick, dedicated to providing exceptional customer service and being an integral part to the Atchison community. See them at 314 Woodlawn. It's Lewis Chevrolet Buick in Atchison.
Benedictine comes home for their first game of 2021, but They come in against a tremendous opponent in Grandview, the number 5 team in the country, and Ravens come up short here at home this afternoon, 41-20 to the Vikings. And Gus for Benedictine, Grandview has just been a real thorn every year.
Yeah, every year. I mean, the one year you really got them was that 2018 year, and that was another kind of a funny play. Remember when Cranview goes for it, the ball gets knocked out, Brett Shepherd's, and I can still picture him in the rain running down the field and scoring the touchdown on that play.
Didn't he have one hand at the
Yeah,
time?
With the club, yep. And so, but past that, the Ravens have really just struggled since Cranview has come to the conference. This is a really good team. I mean, they were able to come in here today and put up 41 points coming off of only being able to score 37 last week, so I don't think Grandview's completely hit their stride either. I mean, we didn't see a whole lot out of Turner and Martin like I thought we probably would. But for the Raven, you've got some things to draw off of and be really happy with. And one of those things is you've got to find a way to get Jay Sean Todd more integrated into the offense, right? I think just as a freshman, right now he probably only has a couple packages, but you've got to expand those packages and find ways to get those playmakers on the field.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. There is talent here, and it just takes a little bit of time to evaluate that. In particular, you can evaluate only so much in practice. You got to get them out against opponents. You got to see how they perform, you know, in game circumstances and game kind of situations. And so, for the Ravens, it's going to be a little bit of getting that weighed up. And for BC, it'll be right back at work. Maybe for some of those guys tonight, certainly by tomorrow, as they will be preparing for Peru State. And be interested to see how it all shakes out up there. We certainly want to thank you for having joined us here this afternoon. Again, your final score, Wilcox State, Demon Atchison, Grandview 41, Benedictine 20. I want to thank Matt Fowler, our halftime guest, for having joined us for a little reminiscing time. He was great. And thank Joseph, our producer-engineer back at the CARE Studios, for taking care of us. And until we greet you next time, for Gus Counts, Tom Counts, saying so long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Benedictine Raven Football on your local sports authority, KAIR Radio 93.7 FM, and streaming on MSCNews.net. Benedictine Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management.